recorded live.
Right. Go ahead, sir. Rodney?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I didn't even hear you. I was running down the stairs. But good evening, brothers. Just want to welcome everybody to the call. And for those of you who are first-time guests, the only rule that we have is no cursing. So other than that, you know, we'll get it rolling. Topic tonight, why did I get married? And I'll just start it off why I got married. I met my wife when I was 17 years old, and we dated for 3 years, got engaged. We engaged for a year and got married. I was 21 and been married 10 years. And why I got married is, marriage is part of my fabric, I guess, because my older sibling, he's been married 15 years. My parents have been married 40 years. My mother's parents were married for 60 years before my grandfather passed. All of my mother's 8 brothers and sisters were married at some point in their lives. My father's brothers and sisters, probably about 80% of them were married at some point in their lives. All of my neighbors were married. So why I got married is I just knew it was the right thing to do. And I got married relatively young, you know, at 21, and was not nervous at all. Everybody's like, how could you do it? You know, were you nervous? You give up your player card? And I'm just like, no, because I had found the right woman. You know, I knew that, you know, she was going to be my wife, you know, from probably within the first 3 months that we started kicking it. So it was, I felt it no need for me to, quote unquote, sow my oats, sow my wild oats or whatever, because I didn't want this one to get away. And actually, I was supposed to get married. We were supposed to get married in the year 2000. But what happened was my plans were not my wife's plans, because when we got engaged, you know, we were thinking, yeah, we have the long engagement. We got engaged in 98, and then we'll get married in 2000, get everything planned out. And from my standpoint, I was thinking, yeah, you know, we were moving up to a different area, moving up to the Maryland area. And I was thinking, yeah, you know, we can save for the wedding. We can move in together, and we can get it popping. And she was like, wait a minute. I'm not living with you before we get married. And I was like, what? Oh, you joking, right? You know, I was like, yeah, whatever. So we're going to move in together. We're going to get a pop. We're going to save our money. She was like, I'm serious. I am not living with you before we get married. And I was like, okay, really? So long story short, we ended up moving the wedding date for economical reasons. We didn't feel it was necessary to, or economically feasible to, have two separate households, two separate apartments, trying to save for a wedding. You know, so we just actually just kicked it off a year beforehand, for the simple fact that, you know, my wife was not going to live with me, you know, outside of the confines of marriage. And that's one of the reasons why I knew, you know, looking back on it, I'm like, that's why I married you, you know. And, you know, she was 21, you know, saying this. So, I mean, she was like an adamant about it. It was no, you know, she liked me, loved me and all that, but it was no bending on that specific point. You know, we were going to be married if we were going to be living together. So, and I have no regrets, you know, absolutely no regrets. Like I said, we've been married 10 years. We got 2 beautiful girls, and, you know, ups and downs like any marriage, but I have no regrets, you know, absolutely no regrets. So, you know, bottom line, you know, I knew that marriage, you know, is just the right thing to do, because I believe that God ordained marriage, and it's just the right thing to do. And you know, God has definitely blessed our marriage, because we keep Him first. So that's why I got married.
Were you a Christian when you first got married, Rodney?
Yes, I was. We both were. Yes.
Well, we know she was.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and my father-in-law is actually an ordained minister. So,
okay. Now, why would you think about living together as a Christian?
Because I wasn't on fire, I guess, back then. So, you know, I did everything. You know, I was pretty much Sunday morning, I'm good to go.
So you were a head Christian?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, Monday through Saturday, you know, I'm doing Rodney's thing.
Okay.
So, you know, back then, you know, I was pretty much, yeah, you know, I was in church every Sunday. You know, I grew up in the church. But, you know, pretty much Monday through Saturday, I sort of, you know, did my own thing and, you know, didn't really, you know, walk the walk as I do today. So that's why, you know, the whole thing where I pitched it to her, I say, you know, we can move in together. She was like, nah, hold up. We're not doing that. We're not going there. And I respected her for it, you know, and that's what, you know, again, one of the qualities I saw in her. And we just moved everything up and, you know, the rest is history.
Good words. Anybody else? Talk about why they got married.
Yeah, here's somebody.
Tell me about the topic. Tell me about the topic a little bit, Rodney. What was your visions with this topic in reference to?
Yeah, good point, because I actually heard a conversation on the radio about marriage and some of the reasons that people get married. And I just found, you know, none of it. Everybody was, you know, just talking about, well, you know, I've reached a certain age, you know, I've made it up the career ladder, you know, so it was like, all right, at this point, now I need to get married. So it wasn't like it wasn't necessarily a priority. The other things, you know, climbing the career ladder was a priority. You know, sowing, you know, just being out playing the field, you know, on both parts, you know, men and women. And then, you know, sort of coming together, it's like, all right, you know, I'm getting a little older now. It's time for me to settle down. So, you know, the whole idea for the topic is that, you know, for me, I knew it was the right thing to do, you know, me personally. And, you know, so I followed through with that. But, you know, I know, for example, my parents, who have been married 40 years, had a shotgun wedding. And, you know, so they were married in June. My brother was born in November. So, you know, it was sort of, and they dated, you know, for a long time. And, you know, thank God they're still together today. But I don't know if my father was really ready to get married. And from the conversations, you know, that I've had with them about it, it's sort of the same thing, is that, you know, I think my mom sort of put an ultimatum on him to say, you need to make a commitment here. We've got a child on the way. You need to make a commitment. And, you know, my father stepped up to the plate, and, you know, the rest is history. But, you know, I just wanted to get some feeling out there. Everybody doesn't think like me. And, of course, everybody's reasons for getting married is not, you know, my reasons, you know, good, bad, or otherwise. So that's why I sort of, you know, just put it out there, because I heard this conversation, and, you know, it was everything, you know, but this was, you know, what I felt was the right thing to do, was sort of all kinds of circumstances. He was there. She was there. We've been dating 5 years. Let's just do it. You know, let's just make it official. So.
Wow.
Well, I got three reasons that I got married.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I've been married 3 times.
Well, you got to explain each time. I'm sure each time was different.
So I got 3 different reasons. Well, I grew up in a Catholic household, and I don't know if any of y'all know anything about Catholicism or anything like that.
Yeah, divorce is not highly looked upon favorably.
Well, yeah, right. No doubt. But I really didn't care, because I didn't care about the Pope, and he was just a punk wearing a dress to me, so that didn't matter. You know, and I wasn't praying to statues and all that kind of stuff. But for every Sunday for my whole life until I was 17 and three-quarter years old, I was in Catholic church, went to Catholic school. And when I left my parents' house, I swore I would never set foot in a church again, because I hated religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I still do. When I left my parents' house, the last thing I was thinking about was, you know, quote unquote, doing the right thing. And I moved down to D.C. to go to Howard University. And I got to clean this up this week, right?
Yes, please. We got guests.
Well, I'm going to put it out there, but I had a girlfriend, and she was a few years older than me, about, I don't know, I guess I was about 18, and she was about 31, 32, and I thought I had died and gone to heaven. I mean, she
a few years?
Huh?
That's not a few years.
I thought I'd die and go to heaven, man, because I thought I was gunslinging. You know, girl busted out the box of tools on a brother. You know, but I was just gunslinging. You know, it didn't matter to me, you know. And, I mean, this would be real time, right?
Right.
I remember my mother came down and she, you know, I wanted her to meet my girlfriend, and she said, you know, after she left, she said, "She's a woman." Yeah? She looked at me again. She said, "She's a woman." I was like, "What, you think I'll be with a man?" She said, "You know what I mean, boy." Hey, but, you know, you 18, you think you're doing it, and you meet some, you know, woman that knows what time it is. You know, that's a whole different ball game. You know, well, she had a kid, and she had an apartment. I was 18 years old, gunslinging. And, her ex-husband was chasing her down, and she had to leave town because her ex-husband was trying to snatch the kid. So she wanted me to watch her apartment, which was cool with me. And but, you know, I needed some snatch. I mean, this is just where I was. Tony, I can put it out there, right?
Yeah. Just so, no profanity, but anything else is all good, yeah.
Yeah, I was the type of dude that, you know, I wasn't going through no dry spell. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, she booked out of town, so I needed some snatch. So I called my old girlfriend from high school, and I said, "I got this spot. Why don't you come on down?" So she did. You know, I needed some snatch, you know, living in the house. And, you know, so one thing led to another. She moved down, and, you know, and then my old girlfriend came back, so we had to leave. It was crazy stuff, you know. Y'all been there probably. Maybe not. And after some time, you know, moving from pillar to post and all that kind of thing, she got pregnant. And she ended up going into labor early. This is in the early 80s. And she went into labor when she was, like, just barely 6 months pregnant.
Wow.
And she gave birth to a set of twins that were just over 1 pound each.
Wow.
And, you know, at that point, my mindset was, hey, if the girl gets pregnant, you know, just get rid of it. You know, it was just, you know, that's what you did. And, but she got pregnant, and she wanted to have the babies and all this and all that, and fine, you know. Well, when the babies were born, I couldn't believe it because they were so tiny. I don't know if anybody ever seen a 1 pound baby, but they were born alive. And with, I mean, perfect little babies, and I lifted them, you know, and they were still alive, and they were fighting for breath and died in my hands.
Mm.
And at that point, I realized, you know, well, dang, gone, you know, abortion, you're killing these little ones. So that changed my whole parameter about, you know, killing babies. And she was so torn up and distraught, I mean, she cried for like 2 months straight. I mean, that's all she would do. And I was like, you know... And she kept saying, "Well, and we're not even married, and we're not even married, and we're not even married." I was like, "Fine, you want to get married? Fine. Set it up, I'll show up." A little different from your situation, Rodney. I said, "Well, I ain't doing jack. You know, you tell me where to be, I'll show up." So she was happy as a clam. She called her mama, "Oh, we're getting married." And her mama said, "Oh, great, I'll put the whole wedding together." And my parents were happy because that's what Catholics do. You know, you get married. So I said, "Fine, you tell me when to show up, I'll show up." So she told me when to show up, I showed up, and my buddy was like, "Man, aren't you nervous?" Kind of like, yeah, I guess I was about 21 years old at the time, Rodney.
Yeah.
And he said, "Aren't you nervous?" I was like, "No, nah, man, I'm not nervous." I said, "I was getting the milk, now it's time to buy the cow." I mean, this is what, you know, I'm just telling you, you know.
Yeah.
That was a marriage made in heaven. So we got married, and she was married, and I wasn't. And
say that again.
She was married, and I wasn't. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you want me to really go into that, but
no, I got you. I got you.
We understand.
I had a wife and girlfriends, And I understand, you know, this is B.C., before Christ.
Right.
All right? And, I mean, just because I was married didn't mean I couldn't have something on the side. I mean,
right.
You know. And we stayed married for about 2 years. Well, as soon as we got married, she got pregnant again. I mean, this girl was fertile myrtle, man. You know. I mean, you look at her, she was knocked up. You know, and as soon as, you know, so literally almost 9 months to the day of us getting married, she gave birth to another set of twins, a boy and a girl.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
I told you I was gunslinging, man. Double shot.
So you wasn't shooting blanks.
I was shooting blanks or sawdust. I was bombing them, you know. So you know, that's what happened, you know, and but like I said, she was married, I wasn't, and you know, I was checking out the honeys, man, you know, and I had, of course, my honey on the side, and that's the way it went. And after a couple of years, I got tired of my wife. I was like, doggone, I could do bad on myself. You got to get out of here. But you know, I'm gonna keep my kids. So I took her to New York and left her up there, and when I came back, my girlfriend dumped me, so I needed some more snatch because I wasn't going without no snatch, you know. And so I started talking to this girl that was living around the way, and she didn't like me, and I didn't like her. As a matter of fact, she had a husband, but she was messing around with one of my buddies, which I didn't care. I wasn't attracted to the girl, so we would just go over and get high. And she didn't like me, and oh, man, I wasn't supposed to say getting high, was I?
No, that's all right.
Oh, that's all right?
Yeah, that's good.
So we would get high and get horny. She would say, well, damn, you know, you can hit it, but you can't kiss me because I don't like you like that. I was like, fine, I don't like you either. I'm just hitting it anyway. I'm between some snatch. That was some crazy stuff, man. You know.
And, did she end up with pregnant with twins?
No, she didn't get pregnant. She didn't get pregnant.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But she dumped my buddy, which I didn't care about, you know. And I didn't really care about her. I didn't want to kiss her anyway. I was just trying to get some snatch. And
so why did you get married again?
This is the
are we on the
girl.
First one or the
second?
This is the second
girl.
Okay.
All right. You know what
okay.
I mean? This is the second girl. I divorced the first one. I was in the process of divorcing her when I started seeing this other one. Okay.
A lot of it.
Huh?
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So you know, you want the real Christian deal, right? This is the Mr. Christian guy here, guys. Right? So her husband was overseas, and I was like, he came back after about 3 or 4 months, and I was like, okay, game over. We live in the same apartment complex. I mean, I could hit her place with a rock. You know, I was like, okay, I'm done. Dude's back. You know, it was fun. It was cool. You know, well, about a month after he came back, she showed up, you know, at my apartment with a trench coat on and nothing else. I mean, what you going to do, man? I mean,
Mary.
I'm going to tell you, man, I'm going to hit it. You know? So, I mean, you know, and then, you know, after, you know, a few times of her coming over, she told me, she said, well, you know, I'm a Christian, and I was asking God. I didn't care if she's a Christian, a Hare Krishna, a Buddhist. If she was giving it up, I was taking it. You know, I'm just telling you, man. I know this sounds terrible. This is what it was at, you know.
It's what it is. It is what it is.
You know, I didn't care, you know, who you said you were. You know, I was like, thank you, Jesus. Keep the snatch coming. This is my kind of Jesus, man. And so that's what it was, and she came over one day and she said, you know, I was praying to God and asking Him if I should make my marriage work or if I should, you know, if I should move on, and He sent me you. I was like, thank you, Jesus. You know, so one thing led to another, and she would come sneaking to my place, and I'd be banging at her husband's 100 yards across the way. You know what I mean? Some crazy stuff. Well. One thing led to another. We started living together. And this is, you know, a couple of years ago by now. And then she said to me, she said, look, if we're going to live together, because I had my twins and she had a little girl about the same age. And I said, she said, if we're going to be living together, we got to put these kids in church. I was like, fine, anything but Catholic. So we started going to this Baptist church, and I said, okay, we'll join here. So the pastor said to me, he said, well, before you join, I need to come meet you and talk to you. I said, fine. So he came over to the house, and he said, are you saved? I said, saved from what? Now, I grew up Catholic. They don't talk about salvation. You know, they talk about purgatory and all kind of stuff. They don't talk about getting saved. And I said, saved from what? He said, well, when you die, are you going to go to heaven? And I said, well, I guess so. And he said, I'm a pretty good guy. And he said, well, it doesn't matter how good you are. He said, if you don't have Christ in your heart, you're not going to heaven. I said, well, how do I do that? He said, you walk down the aisle, you say this prayer, and you get baptized. I said, so I walk the aisle, say the prayer, and take the dip, and I'm going to heaven? He said, yeah. I said, man, sign me up. Sounds like a deal. So the next Sunday, he did this thing called an altar call. I was the first dude up there. Walked the aisle, said the bread, took the dip. He said, I was saved. I wasn't no more saved than a man in the moon.
Right.
But he said, I was saved. Okay. I said, all right. So then he came back over to the house, and he said, the next week, he said, well, now that you're saved, he said, you can't be living together and not being married. And I said, well, I ain't got no money. He said, it doesn't matter if you got money. I can marry you in your living room. I was like, oh, yeah? He said, yeah, I'll be here Saturday. So I got married the second time. Well, that was a marriage.
Did you ever think of saying no?
What did you say?
At any time, did you ever think about just saying no?
I mean, you know, you gotta understand, okay? To me, love was getting some snatch. I mean, there was nothing more to it. I mean, I'm with you long enough. I care about you. That was the depth of love. I mean, there was nothing else to it. I'm with you. We're together. I'm getting some snatch. I guess this is love. I'm going to work, paying the bills. You're going to work. This is what life is.
Right.
You live with them long enough, they bug you long enough, you get married.
Mm.
Okay? There was nothing deeper than that. You know, and I remember, I mean, we stayed married for about 10 years. And you know, I had my girlfriends on the side. I mean, nothing changed. You know? And I remember her asking me, she's like, what would you do if I left you? I was like, you know, there's other fish in the sea. You know, I mean, imagine saying that to your wife. You know what I mean? And, well, one thing led to another, and after 10 years of being married and stuff like that and chasing skirts, she announced to me one day, I don't want to be your wife anymore. And I didn't believe it and all that kind of stuff. And one thing led to another, and she left. And then because at that time I had, you know, the first time, you know, I got divorced, I was kind of in control. I'm done. And the second time when she walked out, I thought I was somebody because I had accomplished a lot of things in life by that time. I mean, I had gone from rags to riches, and I was a man. I was somebody. I was accomplishing things, and you're just going to leave me and then find out she left me for a dope-smoking bum. You know, so my ego was crushed, all kind of stuff, and my whole life came crashing down. But in the midst of all this, I got saved. And the crazy thing happened when I got saved, the Lord dumped all his love in my heart, and I fell head over heels in love with my wife, but she no longer wanted me. She wanted this other dude. And she said to me, the funniest thing, 10 years later, almost to the day, she said to me, stood in my bedroom and said, I was praying to God and asking him, should I make my marriage work? And he sent me this other guy. And I thought, damn, that's verbatim. Ooh, excuse me, I didn't mean damn.
Yeah.
You know, so after about 2 years of trying to make it work, and, you know, any of y'all in a situation, the Bible is true, very, very true. If you are with somebody that wants to go, let them go. You can't make them stay. I don't care what you do. If somebody wants to leave, you can't make them stay. You cannot make someone love you. I found that out the hard way.
Wow.
Tens of thousands of dollars later. Okay. So at 40 years old, I found myself alone. I thought my life was over. And the only difference was this time I found Christ. And I figured, okay, and Satan was whispering in my ear, well, dag, if she don't want you, that's all right. You ain't that old, you ain't that ugly, and you ain't that broke. Man, you can have them lined up. You know what I mean? And that was my plan. The only problem was I got saved on the way to the ranch. And I couldn't even gunsling and have fun. Any of y'all saved brothers out there trying to make it happen, trying to gunsling and the Holy Spirit rocking your world? I was like, daggone, I got saved too early. I don't know how else to say this, Tony, but I would go to the titty bar, and I couldn't even get off at the titty bar, man. You know, here I am saved, and the Holy Spirit, I'm sitting up in there trying to get my thing on, trying to get my little lap dance and all, and the Holy Spirit's like, what in the world are you doing here? I was like, doggone, man. I should have got saved like 2 years later. I could have been racking them, you know. But I couldn't do it. I mean, the Holy Spirit just beat the heck out of me. And then I said, okay, Lord, hey, you know, obviously I'm destined to be by myself for the rest of my life, and it's just, you know, whatever you want. And finally I gave it up. And one day I was in church. I was in a class, and I looked over, and I was like, man, you know, these women in the class, I wonder if they're, you know, nice people. I wasn't looking for no wife or nothing like that. And I looked over, and I saw this lady. And every week after class, this lady used to take off after class. I couldn't understand it. I was looking at her. She just looked like a nice lady. And I thought, man, I'm going to chase her down and talk to her. So 1 week after class, that's what I did. And ended up talking to her, and she was just the nicest lady. And a year and a half later, man, we got married. And I'm going to tell you, it's a whole different ballgame when you get married in Christ. Because then I understood what marriage was, and I understood what the commitment was and what God called me to be in marriage. And it was a very serious thing. It wasn't signing a check. It wasn't buying the cow. It wasn't, okay, I got nothing better to do. I looked at what God had to say about marriage, and I realized that this was for the rest of my life and that God only allows a couple of reasons to be divorced. This is it. You know, is this what I want to do? And, you know, hey, I couldn't gunsling. I was like, Rodney, okay, we got to move up to date. I was like, hey, it's better to get married and burn. And girl was hot. And I was horny. No. Well, yeah, but no, that wasn't the reason. But seriously, when I realized what God had said, and here I was at 40-some years old, I didn't have 5 years to date and mess around and all that kind of thing. I knew that she was the one, and I knew that I needed to get on with the rest of my life. And to have a partner to be there with was just incredible. And, she was just perfect for me. And when I realized that, there was no need. I mean, we were engaged for about 6 months. What I did have to get over was the fear of the past, and that was a whole nother ball game. But I decided I was going to do it God's way. I wasn't going to shack up with her. We weren't going to be doing that kind of thing. We were going to go to counseling. We were going to find out what God had to do. And that's pretty much how I got married the third time, and my beautiful wife, and we're going on 5 years now, and y'all that know what I'm talking about. But
that's
the difference.
That's what's up.
Good words. Good words. Go ahead.
A good word right there.
Hello?
Hello? Anybody else want to elaborate on why they got married? Why they still married?
Well, I'm on my second marriage now, so I can talk about my first one. You know, I lived with her for like a couple of years, and it almost seemed like it was just like the next step. It wasn't a, you know, I can't live my life without you. It was just like conceivably just the next step because we've been living, we dated, we lived together.
Was this the first marriage or the second?
My first marriage. My second marriage is the bomb. I've only been married since May, but it's the bomb. It's the perfect, you know, the Lord has blessed me with the second marriage. You know, the first marriage, I don't speak ill about her, but it was a learning experience. You know, and this marriage I'm in now, you know, she was perfect for me. You know, she's a good. She brought me back to the church. I know about Catholic because I grew up Catholic.
You know,
I used to call it. She called it the microwave chairs. I used to call it up, down, and you out of there.
Got that right. 45 minutes. Domino's owners.
Yep.
See you later.
You go there and you get in time just to see, you know, the football game. And there's more than one service. You know, if you want to go early in the morning, you can. You want to go afternoon, you can. So after that, you know, she brought me to this church and introduced me to the pastor, which has been a blessing, you know. And just missed my driveway. This has been like a blessing to me, you know. We go through nothing. We're going through a little drama right now, but it's nothing marital. It's just like financial, but it's a blessing because positive. She's a good light for me. You know? We joke about it, but we call it blood in, blood out. You know, we got married and they back on get divorced. It's our second marriage on both of us, both our sides.
And the reason that you probably realized that is because of how your first marriage went down.
Yeah.
You know, and how, I guess, the second marriage is like all these qualities that, you know, it's like, whoa, you know, this is what I'm talking about. So, I mean, had you not had the first marriage, you may not, you know, you probably wouldn't appreciate the second marriage the same.
That's right.
Very true. That is so true because, you know, you think, okay, this is what marriage is. Because I come from a family. No one is married in my family.
No
mother's
one
divorced. Grandmother's divorced. Her mother was divorced. So, you know, I come from a family of divorcees.
Wow.
So, you know, and my father, my true father, has never been married. So
would you say that you got married to sort of break the cycle or to, I guess, prove people wrong or prove your family members wrong or just, you know, just say, you know, I'm going to be the one to, you know, do this thing right?
No, but the first marriage, convenience. The second marriage is because of, for love.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm what, 42 years old? I don't have to prove anything to anybody anymore. My days of proving are over.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, when you got married the first time, you said it was convenient.
Yeah, we lived together, you know, and it was just basically the same. It was just the logical next step, I would call it. And it used to be, and I knew I should have known it was an ill-fated marriage because we used to talk about when we get divorced.
This was before you got married? This was before you got married?
Huh? I didn't hear what you said.
This was before you got married? You were talking about when we get divorced?
This is when we were married, like in, we're like in maybe the first 2 years.
Wow.
Talking about when we get divorced.
Wow.
So, it was, you know,
wow.
It was just, and it was, you know.
So you can relate to my first two marriages.
Yeah.
I just did. That's what you do now.
I just said, you know, I didn't go out. You know, I was married. My mistress was work.
Yeah.
And my mistress was truly work. And, you know, I had I was a police officer. I'm a police officer, and it's like I was in vice narcotics. And I used to call her Vicina as my girlfriend. And then I went to robbery. Robina is my girlfriend. You know.
But I guess that's what I wanted to sort of get to, fellas, is, you know, kind of that, you know, that lane where, you know, you're with the girl and it's like you have that conversation or you look over at each other and it's like, all right, we need to go ahead and do something different here. But not necessarily like my man was just talking about, you know, for the love or, you know, for, you know, moving the date up so you can make it, you know, make everything right, you know, but you know, does anybody want to talk more about that lane where it's like, all right, you know, I've been with this chick for 8 years. You know, all right, you know, she keep hounding me.
Mine's a little different. Can I throw something in there right quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Mine is pretty wild. I believe I probably told Tony this. Well, my wife has probably told Tony this. You know, I met my wife in college, and for some reason, the first time I saw her, I said, you know what? I'm going to marry you. And she made it my gut for a whole year for me just saying that.
But you made what?
I told her that I was going to marry her.
And what did she do?
My first words to her was that, you know what? I had a dream about you, and I was going to marry you.
I used that line when I was in college. That was one of my lines.
How'd that work for you, bro?
Well,
I'm
real
still
well.
Married. I wasn't talking about with her.
I'm still married. So,
no, I wasn't talking about with her. I was talking about the other one. You
Oh, the other one, it worked well for me.
Yeah, you the man.
I went to HU. I had HU, 10 to 1 odds. For each one guy, there were 10 girls.
Oh, God.
Go ahead, Pete Tam.
So you know, it was weird, but and it took some growth period. You know, for some reason I really did have a dream that I was at this moment right now, like in certain parts of my life that we were supposed to be together and we were going to have two kids and live happily ever after.
So this was the real dream. The other one was just a line.
No, that was actually a dream. For real, for some reason, somehow I saw her in a dream.
No, I'm not talking about her. I'm talking about the other ones you used a line on.
Oh, I never used that. Was the first time ever me using that line. I never used that line before.
I was misunderstood.
Oh, that was
the line.
That was somebody else that said that they used that line. But
that was
me. Okay. I had never used that line before. That was the first time I ever used it. And I was like, wow.
Hey, Tony, that's a pretty good line, isn't it?
Yeah, like I said, I've used
that line.
That's
a great line.
Oh.
Wish I thought about that one.
Darn, I had never thought a thing about that one. That was the first time I ever used it.
So what you're saying is it wasn't a line. You were just straight up telling the truth.
I was telling the truth. And it's been on ever since, 17 years later, so.
17 years, wow.
That's what's up. So anybody, you know, thanks, P-Town. Anybody, you know, was in that whole lane, you know, with the convenience factor, like something, you know.
Well, I got a question to put out, okay,
yes.
Because you guys know that, you know, we deal with a lot of marriages and a lot of situations, and here's something that women actually, well, whack job women actually believe. God's going to send me my husband, and I'm just going to wait here and knock on the door. Anybody ever run into something like that? Guys don't believe that, but women, whack job women believe that.
I think there's a lot of people that say God's going to send me my, you know, that great job, and they sit at home waiting for the job to come knock on their door. I think that's
don't
just...
Don't put an application
right.
out.
Yeah, exactly. It's just that crazy.
I talked to a friend of mine, old high school friend of mine, the other night, and that's what she told me. She said, well, I've been waiting for 10 years, and I've been praying, and God's going to send me my husband. And I said, where are you looking? Oh, I don't need to look. God's going to send him. And I said to her,
wow.
I said, when you pray for a job, do you put out applications? She said, of course. I said, really? And then she said, oh, my goodness, I never thought of it that way.
You just better go to Walmart.
I know guys don't think like that, but there's a whole bunch of women in the church that believe like that.
Mm-hmm.
God's going to send me my husband, the next dude that rings on the doorbell. That's why they got sick of the dude they with, because it was a case.
Well, I don't believe there's really nothing wrong. But first of all, how y'all doing, fellas?
What's up, Simon?
Hey.
What's up?
Hey.
But I don't necessarily believe that there's nothing wrong with that woman. I know where you're coming from, but that feels that way. What I think the problem is when they say God gonna send me my husband. And this good dude come around,
but he ain't driving no S500.
If he qualifies for my standard.
Yeah, so no, Lord, that ain't
right.
him.
Right.
My husband's going to have an S6 or S5. And, you know,
that's exactly right.
It's funny that you said that, because just this past evening, I was talking to a childhood friend. I mean, and she was saying that, you know, she's going through this thing with her boyfriend, and you know, she's been married once before, and she waiting on God to send her the man that is going to be or whatever. And I say, you know, what's wrong with this guy? When she started telling me about everything that was wrong with the guy, I was like, he sound like a regular dude to me. It don't sound like anything really wrong with the guy. He worked. He cared about you and stuff like that. But, you know, whatever that differences was, there were differences that you just had in relationships. And, I don't know, but I get you, man. I got a little off the subject, but I get what you're saying.
No, but you're right on the subject, because the thing about it is that so many times we put it on God, and what God actually does is he gives us the parameters of who to marry. He doesn't select the person. He gives us the parameters and says, hey, marry someone that has Christ in their heart, okay? Marry someone basically in the clan, all right? And I will bless your marriage. God doesn't select, you know, Shaniqua for you or Tyrone. Okay, he's the one I sent and made him for you. God will bless the marriage, but you choose. It's kind of like, okay, you got the choice to choose who you want to be with, but make sure that's the one, because you don't get to choose over and over again. You see, and we make the mistake thinking, well, you know, the world says if this doesn't work, chuck it aside. Okay, the world says, hey, look at us here in Hollywood. You know, we're going to have a 3-month marriage, and we're going to find something else. You know, because this honey that walks by is going to, you know, this is what it's going to be. And what I have found, and I've told some of y'all this, it doesn't matter how green the grass is. There's always dirt up under the grass. I don't care how fine she looks. Okay? When you get down to it, they all got their stuff just like we do.
Yep.
And we
got
to make it work. The funny thing, I was telling Tony about this, and then he told me he bought some of it. I fell out. I was watching this thing late on TV one night. It was an infomercial for grass paint. And it said,
I do have some.
You got brown spots on your lawn? Don't worry about it. Buy this spray paint for your lawn. You ain't got to worry about getting a healthy lawn. Just buy the spray paint and make it look good.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's what we're looking for. We're trying to make something look good instead of trying to get it healthy. You see, if you get your lawn healthy, it will look good. But if you don't want to get it healthy, just spray paint it. See, that's the way of the world. You see, we've got to make our marriages healthy, and the way to do that is through the Word of God. And it's for both husband and wife to sell out to the Word of God and realize, like somebody said, blood in, blood out. Okay? There's no such thing as divorce. Now, murder is on the table, okay? But divorce is off. I might kill you behind, but divorce is off. Divorce is off. Hey, murder, that's a different ballgame.
Oh, man.
You got to go, you know. But in other words, let's focus on, instead of trying to make it look good and smell good, let's try to make it healthy. See, that's what our marriages need to be, is healthy. If we spend enough time, as much time on our marriages as we do on our work, as we do on our football, as we do on the things that we want to do, we'll have healthy marriages. There's nobody I'd rather be with than my wife. I mean, I love hanging out. I love having fun. But, man, I got married to be with her. I got married to chase her in Aruba. I mean, Tony, I like you, man, but we ain't buying curtains.
Good word. I want to give some other perspectives on the word why. I'm sure there's got to be some different reasons, brothers on the call, not, you know, just the ones that we've discussed, but are there some different reasons why? Because I feel there's some different reasons out there, and I just feel, you know, I just feel somebody else has got something to say, you know, on the topic as to why, you know, a different version of why you walked down the aisle or thinking about walking down
the aisle. The brother that hit it, this time, the brother that said about the convenience, I mean, it was I think I hear that more often because I ask this question a lot, and I think they hear, I hear more often because I can see that. That it was like we've done everything else. It seemed like we had done everything else. And then you had everybody like, oh, man, y'all look so good together. Y'all make such the perfect couple. And, you know, you got that going on. And at my point, you know, with me, it was like in my career, I was, you know, I was doing better than I ever done before. And I was just going straight up, just going straight. And she was doing things. And it was like, God, really, the next step is, you know, that's what which seemed the logical step, but now at this point in my life, I realize that wasn't logical. But the logical step was to ask the girl to marry. And I got to tell you, I was telling my friend this last night. I hit a bonus, man. I got an extra 10 grand. I mean, really just an extra 10 grand. And when I was getting the check, the general manager, he was like, you know, you and Sabrina been together for a while. You know, y'all got tied in knots. And I was like, I got an extra 10. Yeah. I said, you know what? In my mind, I was like, yeah.
That's real. That's
get
real.
Get off with a ring. So, I mean, that's how things, I think in a lot of instances that you, the brother that said that you feel like that you've done everything else, it just seemed like the next logical step. I think it happens to a lot of failed marriages. That's what happens to a lot of failed marriages.
That 10 grand cost you a lot of money, didn't it?
Oh, man, yeah.
You should have said, keep that 10 grand, man.
I could have kept that 10 grand.
Blame your general manager. Blame your general manager.
I can't blame him. I'd love to be able to, but even I had all the chances to get out of there, even at the altar. That's on me.
Mhm. Wow. What about the shotgun wedding? Somebody said something about the shotgun wedding. Shotgun wedding. Anybody experienced that? Like, you know, actually I did.
Whoa.
That's kind of funny that I'm saying it. It wasn't a shotgun wedding, so to speak, that somebody was like, "What? Well, I don't really know how you, I don't know the meaning of that word." Because I think there's probably a couple definitions of it. My definition was I had two children already, and it was, you know, we living together the whole nine yards, and it got to the point where, you know, everybody on both sides of the family was like, what y'all going to do? So I was like, my man, I said, you know, you just plan it, and I'll show up. You know, but I didn't realize that I would have to show up with my checkbook, too. So that was a little bit easier said than done, but I guess that can be because at that point I really didn't want to do it. I was trying to stay not married as long as possible, even with the two children. And I was a good father and a good, I guess, but it wasn't a husband, but I was a good, whatever you want to call it, not a husband, I guess a good boyfriend, father, baby's daddy, I guess they call it. But I did not really want to get married because I knew that it really wasn't a match made in heaven because we had so many issues, you know, but we were sticking through it. And then I just said, all right, I give in and got married.
Why did you actually? So
we got divorced 10 years later, but, you know, I gave it a shot. So I guess that's the categorized to it to be a shotgun wedding. I mean, maybe somebody can correct me.
So you thought this is as good as it's going to get. We've been together. Might as well get married.
Pretty much. And with the added pressure from everybody put their two cents in. Everybody had to throw it in. Oh, y'all got to get married. Y'all got to get these kids legal. What does it look like? Blah, blah, blah. From every direction. I just couldn't win. I could no longer hold that player's card. You know what I mean? So I gave in, and, you know.
Now, what did your dad say to you?
I honestly don't remember, to be honest with you. I think at that point he was okay with whatever decision I made. He knew it wasn't right, but he wasn't going to tell me that. Right. You know, he knew we was having issues, but he wasn't going to say don't do it. He's probably the one that said, well, you know, what? Matter of fact, he did say, do whatever it is that you want to do. He was the probably the only one that didn't put pressure on me because he knew
the reason I
what
asked
I was getting into.
Most of the time I see that pressure from women.
Yeah, I didn't get that from him. I didn't get that from
him. Mothers, the sisters, the girlfriends and all that. Oh, y'all so look so good together. Y'all need to be, you know.
Yeah.
I don't hear that from the men.
Yeah.
I hear that from the women.
Yeah, and now that you bring that up, I'm glad that you bring that up because now I got to call him tomorrow to ask him why he didn't talk me out of it. Because he could have tried to say, son,
it's his
son, I'm trying to tell you, this ain't the thing for you.
Call me a friend, Dad.
Yeah, so, you know, I guess there's all kind of reasons why we do it.
Well,
man,
I'd say for me.
That's a slippery slope, man. Oh, go ahead and tell you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'm done.
Now, what I was going to say is for me, you know, why I decided to get married was, you know, I started thinking to myself, you know, I really want to spend forever with a friend. And and that's why I decided to take that step and move ahead. My wife and I actually, we dated for 7 years before we got married. No kids or anything, just dating. I mean, and it was her finishing up school, me moving away, us living together at one point for a short stint. And it really was just being able to think about all the different things that we had experienced as a couple, you know, because the way I always categorized it, when you're dating somebody, it's just a verbal agreement. You want to do this? Sure. You want to do this? Okay. You know, but then when I started to think about being able to truly spend forever with a friend, that's what made me think about taking that next step. And,
you know, Kleenex.
And then really, till this day right now, you know, I am spending my forever, which is right now, with a friend.
Oh,
and
that's
I feel that she, I feel that she always has my best interest in mind. There are times that we don't necessarily, you know, see eye to eye, but I think at the end of the day, you know, I know that she's going to always think about me and our daughter and, you know, what's best for our family. And I never have to worry about that. And I was able to see those things, you know, when we were dating. I mean, the only thing that I can liken it to, and my definition of happiness when I was growing up, people used to ask me all the time, you know, what's your definition of happiness? What's happiness? What does it look like to you? And the only thing I could think about, which was very prominent for me and has always been until I met my wife, was growing up, I had this dog, Precious. And every time that I would come home, it didn't matter what I'd been doing all day, where I'd gone, what I was doing, this dog was so excited to see me. I mean, doing all types of tricks, flips, jumps, was ready to get outside, catch with the ball with me, and that was my definition of happiness.
So you married
Precious,
the dog?
No, I did marry my dog. But basically, what ended up happening was
my mind. Y'all got to pray for a brother.
My definition of happiness changed, you know, when I was able to really meet and understand my wife, who, like I said, is my friend. And it's been something where, you know, I can go away, I can come back, and it's like when I get an opportunity to sit down and have a conversation with her, when I look into her eyes now, when I get a chance to hold her hand, when I get a chance to really have a discussion with her, even when we're arguing and not seeing eye to eye, it's still the fact that I'm having a conversation with my friend.
You're tearing me up, man.
And, you know, I never feel at any point like she's not my friend. I never have to worry about her trying to gut my back out. I got enough of that in every other place. But I do not have that with my friend.
Isn't that a great thing?
You know? And,
wow.
And that's honestly why I decided to take that step. And to me, I thought I would be foolish if I did not go ahead and take the next step. Because ultimately, I mean, that was it. I mean, and it wasn't something where I was pressured because it definitely wasn't from her family. Her family was not pressuring anything because they wanted her to continue to keep going on with her schooling and education, you know, and she's pursuing her PhD right now, and they actually didn't want her to get married until she got her PhD. So it was one of these things where it was definitely no pressure from her family. It was none from my family either. It was just me saying, you know what, this is my friend, you know.
What would you say to a guy that hadn't met that girl yet?
I would honestly say, and this is what I would say. I would say, hey, she's out there. And the thing about it is listening to what you all were saying earlier, you know, I'm waiting. Some of these women saying, I'm waiting on God to bring her. No, you do have to actively play a part in going out there and meeting people. But I think what happens is you just have to really just stay true to yourself. I'm quirky. I'm awkward. The same person that I've always been on these calls is the same person that she fell in love with. And she sees that every day. And by me being in love with my friend and she being in love with me, you know, it's one of these things where I never have to not be myself. She
you
knows
know the greatest
that,
thing.
She knows wow. that in the heat of a situation or something like that, I'm probably going to choose fight, not flight. She knows that. She knows that, but she knows that about her husband. I know that in the heat of something, she's probably going to choose flight, not fight. But we have to balance that out. And through our friendship and basically being able to, you know, take this step together and being married, we have these discussions. And it goes back to, I think, what we said earlier, gentlemen, with a lot of our conversations. It's the communication piece.
Yep.
I mean, there's not a moment that goes by that I'm not, you know, pressing the issue of wanting to communicate. Now, I know that there are times where I have to recognize that she doesn't want to talk, and I got to give her a space. We got to wait till we get to some happy medium or she's had a chance to think about it because she doesn't process as quickly as I do. You know, I'm the type of person where we get into a discussion, you know, here's another thing. She just loves me for who I am. She says that every question I ask is loaded. But you know what? That's what she knows. She knows that. She knows that, you know. But that's honestly what, you know, caused me to basically say, you know, I'm going to go ahead and ask this woman to spend the rest of her life with me because, you know, she's my friend and I really want to spend forever with a friend. Hopefully she'll want to spend forever with me. And that's really where we are.
How long have you been married? How long have you been married?
We've been married now. We got married in 07, so we're going to come up on what? We're going to come up on 3 years in July.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, we're going to come up on 3 years in July. But this is the thing. We've been together since 99.
Oh,
okay.
You know, I mean, so we've been
together. That don't count no more. It's right where y'all got married. That's
yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, we've been together a long time. But, it's just, I don't know. You know, it's just one of those things. When I saw this topic and I was looking at it, you know, I really started, and like I said last week, I started to research a little bit. What I did is I went back and I found all the old letters that I wrote her that I have. I looked at all the old photos from when she was in school and our very first date. I pulled out the photos from the night we got engaged. I pulled out photos from the marriage. I mean, I've been pulling out everything. And ultimately, every time, every step of the way, every photo, you know, there's some tears, there's some pain, but most of the time behind it, it's just happiness because this is my friend, and I got these photos with my friend. And I can honestly say there's a whole lot of cats in my life that I'd love to put a friend stamp on, but I can't. I wanted to. I thought I had a friend stamp on him, but I can't. But this woman, man, I don't even have to worry about putting the stamp on. She put the stamp on herself. And
wow.
It's like that's what made me say,
send her a CD of this call, man. You're going to have 50 for a month.
Send it to
me. But, I mean, but that's the honest truth. I mean,
I think you found the one for real. That's beautiful, man.
You know, you said something that really hit home with me, and you know, y'all heard I've been married 3 times. And you said something that really hit home. I can be myself, and she loves me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If you can find a woman that you can be you, the craziness, the goofiness, the whatever you are, and she still loves you, that's the one to be with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, y'all heard me on this call, you know what I'm saying? I was talking about the strip clubs and hanging out and bachelor parties. She knows that. She knows all of that. I'm not saying it's right, and as I mature, I'm getting more apt to say, you know what, I don't need to go do this. I need to go on home. I need to go ahead and take myself to this address and open that door and be home with my child and my wife. But she knows that. She knows all of that. You know, she knows about, I mean, it's in the garage now. I will say that it's not so much in the house, like I said, when we talked about the pornography piece. You know, it's one of those things where, if I want to look at it, I look at it, but I don't. But my stuff is in the garage. I got, like, 2 crates, you know, because I've been collecting that stuff since high school. I'm not just going to let it go. I'm not just going to let it go. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's in the garage because that took time and effort to accumulate stuff like that. But it's in the garage. You know?
You can get a tax write-off. Just donate that, man. Donate.
You know what I'm saying?
That is agreeable.
But that's the stuff that I will say, that she knows who I am and she takes me for who I am. I mean, and that's ultimately what it's about. And then likewise, you know, I'm not saying I do it the best because I got a lot of work. Because I have high expectations. I just expect things to be a certain way. I got a certain mindset of how I'm thinking a woman's role is. And all you gentlemen heard me talk about this. But I'm getting better. And, you know, the fact is that because I'm spending forever with a friend, she knows I'm getting better. And I really try to make sure that I take those steps to do that. Because it's important. Because, like I said, she's not gutting my back out. She's not. Because I've been with friends, I've been in relationships where that person saying one thing to you but gutting your back out. Yep. And that doesn't work. Because then you're walking around paranoid, you're concerned. It's bad enough that there's all these other things in the world, sometimes workplace, things that are going on with family members, you know. And then you got to deal with that in your own residence. I mean, I can't do it. So when I assessed it, that's what really got me to walk down the aisle and decide that why I got married, so that I could spend forever with a friend. That's my answer.
That's what's up.
That's a great answer. Hey, look, let me tell you. When Rodney told me about this topic, I said I honestly didn't have much on it. You know, I remember the movie, Why Did I Get Married? I watched that a couple times. That was pretty funny, and it made a lot of sense. You know, but I said, why did I get married? I mean, I know why I got married. Whatever the case, but you just put it into the proper perspective. It's because I married a friend as well. And actually, I got divorced, and inside of 12 months, I got married again.
Inside of how long?
You know what I mean? Inside of 12 months, okay. I got married again after I got divorced. And, I mean, a couple things happened within that 12 months that kind of rushed it. You know, I started going to church. And then that pressure of living, you know, not being married, living together, because we did all of that too, that started to wear down on me. But I realized that she was my best friend. I've known her for a long time, but we've never crossed that line. And then once we crossed the line, we started hanging out. And I noticed that I was having the same conversation with her as that I was having with my boys. You know what I mean? And I didn't have to hold back anything. I didn't have to be someone else. I didn't have to run game. I didn't have to run any game at all. You know what I mean? It was all good all the time. And I know if there was ever an issue and I'm scratching my head like, how am I going to deal with this? She would already have a solution made up. You know what I mean? So I never, like you said, I never had to worry about somebody gutting my back out. I never had to worry about anything because she was always two steps ahead of me. You know, and honestly, that's what it is. That's what we marry. That's what we seek to marry, a friend, somebody that we don't have to come home and put a different hat on.
Yeah, and I think y'all brothers speak right to that point, because I'll just co-sign that, because I know at home is the only place where I can be me. I'm not me. You know, I'm not me at the job. You know, I'm not me around, you know, mom or dad. You know, I'm not me at church. You know, I've got, you know, different masks up. I put a different mask on, a different hat on, like you just said. But at home, I'm just me. I don't have to, you know, be this or be that. I just, you know, as long as I'm me, it's cool.
Well, Rodney, yep. I'm going to tell you what, I'm me everywhere.
We
all see this crazy dude at church.
We know that.
No, that's Andrew. You see me at work? That's me. My employees? Yeah, that's him. My mom and dad? Yeah, that's him. My kids? Oh, dad's crazy. That's me.
Well, I think another thing too for me, what really stood out when I think about my wife, and even now, is I never, you know, I think back to when we started dating, and then up to, you know, this point, I've never at any point felt like she's trying to manipulate me. You know, what I feel like she's providing me with suggestions and conversation and dialogue is that she's providing me with ways that I can maximize myself and the ways that I can just get better, you know. And she's not, you know, she knows that, you know, I don't think she sets out to say, you know, if I get him to do this, it's going to benefit me in this way. I think, you know, in everything that she's done and continues to do, it's just if I get him to do this, he's going to be better. And it does, it's not just for me. It's for everybody, you know. And,
yeah.
And I feel blessed to have somebody that, you know, continues to position herself like that, you know, in every way possible. You know, sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I take advantage of it. And what I mean by that is I don't necessarily give the praise and the thank yous and the hugs and the saying I love you and as much as I need to. Because I'm telling you, I mean, I don't know, and I know we've, I don't know if we've had a topic about this, but we've kind of talked about it in some aspects. I just don't know if I'd be able to handle as much as she handles with some of the things that, you know, I bring to the table, you know. Even though she loves
wow.
me for me, I just don't know if I'd be able to do it if it was reversed. But she does it. And I think that's that unconditional love and that friendship that makes me just say, I don't need to look anywhere else. I'd be a fool to look anywhere else. And it's not that I'm trying to say, you know, I'm bringing nothing to the table. I'm going to milk this person for everything they got. No. You know, she makes me want to get better. Always.
And I have to agree to that because I can say right now, as of today, I'm still working, and she had to work tonight because she just got this new job, so she's working tonight. And I had to take over what she was usually doing. That's, you know, getting the kids' school stuff together, getting their homework done, feeding them. And, man, that's a tough job.
Got that right.
I mean,
yeah.
That's that second half that, you know, you go to work, you make sure the lights and everything is on, and you come home to a peaceful home where like Rodney said, you can be yourself and kick your feet up and maybe walk around in your underwear if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that your wife is your better half. You know, she take care of all that small stuff that you don't really concern you day with. I mean, you always get updates and you delegate things, make sure things are done, but you don't really concern yourself with on a daily basis.
Can I ask
wow, I was just looking at her when she came in like, wow, I can't do this every day. I'd rather go to work. Great.
Yeah,
that thing is off the hook.
I think you touched on something else, too, about, you know, both of y'all did about making us better because my wife has high expectations. You know, and, I mean, so I know if I was married to somebody else, I'd be slacking. You know, I wouldn't be doing the things that I'm doing today because I know that she expects, you know, those who know my wife, that really know my wife. I mean, she does not mess around, and I say that in a good way, but, you know, she doesn't, I mean, she expects nothing but the best, you know, so, and I've, you know, took me a while to get up, you know, meet her standards, of course. But, you know, in reality, it has made me better. You know, it has made me a better man, a better father, because, you know, it's helped me to become a better person, you know, because my boss, he always used to tell me this. He said, you hire up and you marry up, you know. And I know for a fact that I married up. I married, you know, someone that's, you know, that's going to challenge me. And, you know, to help make me better. You know, I always have a little quote, you know, be better than yesterday. You know, yesterday, you know, yesterday is the past. But, you know, just be better than yesterday. You know, just if you keep that, you know, keep that going, you know, you're gonna only, the end result is you're getting better. You know, so I just think, you know, it's key that y'all mentioned that, you know, the women that we have are a blessing because they do make us better. They make us better heads of households.
I want to ask you a question. Has anybody been with someone that they're not good enough? That anything they do, they're not good enough.
You're reading my mind. You need to stop.
Well, man, that's
you
that's
really
not,
need to
stop. Thinking that too.
We're talking about all these women that want to make us better, but has anybody been with anybody that no matter what they do, they're not good?
It's not good enough. Yep. Yep. That was my next thing to say, and you said it. Yep.
I've been there.
I know what you mean. And that's that perfectionist wife. That's that attention to detail wife. That's that, I'm going to say, anal wife. That I mean, you know, loving and everything, but no matter what we do, and we slack from time to time, it's just our nature. You know, we get distracted, you know, football, whatever. We just get distracted. I mean, we don't have to be in the,
you know,
in the strip club or anything like that.
Let's get football out of this.
Yeah, because football can get personal. I understand that. But let's I mean, anything. It could be anything that distracts us for 2 or 3 minutes. We could, like, one day not do something that we were supposed to do. And here it goes. Here comes the speech.
To that contentious woman that no matter what you do, it's not good enough. And you just go, well, bump it, F it, I'm tired.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
I get that.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah, you ain't never right, you better not ever be wrong.
Right.
Exactly.
And you don't even get into an argument because it's over. You just like, after,
yeah,
not even going to say anything because it's going to be your way. I'm just tired.
Yeah.
No, but what the brother was just saying, that mad at his friend, and that's when I'm listening to how elementary what he's saying, and it's real, and what Tony just said, what the brother just asked that question. You know, that's his wife, from what he's telling us, his wife don't, she just accepts him for who he is. So he's never going to have that problem. He don't have that problem of, like, it ain't
but
never
wait, wait, wait. I'm talking about the dude that wakes up and realizes he's sleeping with the enemy.
No, I've been, what I'm saying is, I've been there. I was sleeping with, I'm telling you, I call her Satan. I was married to Satan. I'm telling you. But
wow.
I know what you're saying. You just say, no matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, because you go through those things. Like, you're just doing your regular old thing, like Tony's saying. You're doing your regular old thing. You doing your regular old self. That ain't good enough. You're trying your hardest to do better.
Yeah.
That ain't good enough. You know, so I know what you're talking about.
And I don't think it's a matter of love. I don't think it's a matter of respect. I think it's a nature thing. I think sometimes it's in a woman's nature to nag, to expect more, to say, okay, well, yeah, I know that you're doing this, but what about that? You know what I mean? I mean, I've just been through it so many times. I believe that that's just in their makeup. And it might not be all of them, but I think it's most of them, because I hear a lot of guys saying the same thing. They try. They bang their head against the wall, and it's still not good enough.
I also think that it's a male nature.
Go ahead.
I just think it's in that nature just to compare. You know how women are always looking at another woman and sizing her up and just comparing you with, you know, the cat in the office or the guy they seen on TV or whatever, you know.
Or the romance novel.
Yeah, the romance novel. That's it. And dudes, I don't think dudes be so preoccupied with that. You know, we ain't looking at Beyonce and looking at our wife saying, why can't you be like that?
Well, wait a minute. Hold on now. I'm saying
you're not looking at your wife thinking realistically, why can't you look like Beyonce?
Now, why you got
but
to say realistic?
Looking at you,
why you got
your
to
wife
realistic?
Looking at you because your wife looking at you realistically saying, why can't you be Boris Kobo Kojo? Or whoever these cats, look, you know, he looking at you like, I want you to be here for real.
Now, Simon, now you bring up a good point. I'm going to go off topic a little bit because I'm there with you, brother, because I know whatever my wife cooks, and my wife cooks often, but whatever she cooks, I'm going to eat it. I'm not going to complain. But when the roles are reversed, oh, it's a shell in my egg. Or it's, you know, this is salty. You know, it's like, why are you complaining? When I am content with her, I ain't thinking about Beyonce. You know, I got, you know, my Beyonce or whatever. But,
that's my point.
You know, my thing is that I am content, you know, with her, where she's like, well, you know, you didn't do that, you didn't do this. You know, I'm just like, okay, but I'm not, you know, on the flip side, I'm not doing that to her, saying you didn't do this today, you didn't pick up the child on time, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm just like, I'm just cool with it. And, you know, I'm there with you, Simon. It's always this constant comparison and contrast where we just like, I'm cool. You know,
but I think like Tony said, it's like there's a book called Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus.
Yeah, that's
and it's this it's this our nature. Our nature. I mean, I'm a man. My mother lives with me. She lives in my house, and there's nothing. My mother, nothing I can do. Everything I do, I always got to do something more, because she never satisfied. This is my mom. And then I get married, and it's the same behavior, but I think it's just the nature of a woman's perspective, how they see things. How we always, as men, we always measure. We measure ourselves before anybody else can measure. You know, do I play ball like him? Do I talk as eloquent as him? You know, so we got our own comparison, and then when you don't hear that good job or that affirmation, you kind of take a back seat, and that's when you want to throw up your hands. But again, I think the way you always explain it, how you first met your wife and why did you get married, none of that had nothing to do with the complaints that come now or the things that go on. That was the way you felt in the beginning. And even through the complaints, you still always fall back to the way you felt in the beginning.
You know what's wild about it?
I got a question for everybody. But do you feel now as you felt then when you first gave her the ring and said, will you marry me?
Got that right.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
I'll tell you about me.
Do you feel the same about
different.
Your wife now?
It's different today than the day I asked her to marry me, but it's a deeper, more confident love.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is a love that knows and understands that whatever it is, we're going to get through it, and it's going to be all right.
I think at that point, at the engagement
I like that
point,
answer.
Yeah, at the engagement point, we were hopeful.
Right.
You know, that we be at this
right.
point. You know, but we didn't truly know, you know.
Now
I mean, we were hoping and wishing. It's like, please, you know, make this be right. But now, you know, to answer your question, absolutely, I feel better.
Hmm.
You know, that I've got confirmation now that, man, this is the right woman for me. I'm
right.
glad I did it.
Right.
No regrets. But back then when I'm, you know, down on one knee asking her parents, you know, can I ask your daughter to marry, you know, all that stuff, I'm like, man, I hope this goes
I hope
all
it's right.
right.
Please, Lord, help us.
Yeah, you know. So that's a great
point. There, man, no doubt. You know, but, you know, it's like, hey, I don't care. And when I see, you know, and it's neat because somebody talked about the communication. I mean, you know, my wife and I have communication to know, you know, there are other beautiful women in this world. You know, and if you can't acknowledge that, then you know you're not being real. You know, it's pretty women out here, but to know that they got nothing on your bride because she is there for you no matter what. When life kicks you in the face, she's there. You know, I don't care what Beyonce looks like. You know, I don't care what. You know, there's some fine women out there, no doubt. If you don't say that, you're lying. You know, there's some pretty women out there. But, you know, my wife, you know, she's got the heart. And she's going to fight for us. And when you understand that, and if you can communicate that you're going to fight for her, she's going to fight for you, the rest of it, you know, you can work out the details. But the core
right.
of it, because life's going to try to, you know, knock you out. But if you can come home and have that peace and know, baby, you know, we're going to do it. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what the finances say. It doesn't matter what's going on to work. You know, you got laid off. We're going to make it. It doesn't matter. We're going to pull together. It's going to be okay. And it's a true depth of love instead of that surfacey, damn, you look good, honey. You know, after 3 months, I don't care what you look like. You get up under her nostrils, she ain't all that.
You know what I mean? I really believe,
and I said this, I think the last conversation we had, that I was on, week before last, I think I said this then. I really believe that it's something that God put in every, I think it's a natural thing. And you're not going to be complete or feel complete as a person without that companionship of a wife, life. I think it's natural. I believe that's just the way it is. And that's what it is. I keep going back to what that brother said that kept saying about his friend. When you truly know that when you're having that hard day at work, man, I used to look forward to you having a hard day at work, everything going wrong. It's somewhere in my mind, it was a point in my marriage. It was a point that I was like, man, I'm going home to my wife.
Gotcha.
You know, that was like, everything else was like, no, null and void. I'm going home to my wife.
Wow.
It'll be all right.
It's like that Jerry Maguire line, you know, you complete me. I mean, it's just
hey,
real
man.
Talk like that.
Tony?
Tony?
Yes.
Hey, Tony?
Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Tony?
Yeah.
You had me at hello.
There's too much Jerry Maguire going on. There's too much Jerry.
Wow. That's a wild
boy. You know what it reminds me of? I remember when I was, like I said, I keep having all these. I just remember so much stuff from church.
Wonder why.
So much stuff just keeps coming out. But I remember that my minister will always say to us, you know, the congregation, everything, and say, a fantastic reality is a whole reality. So you need to figure out what the whole truth is and what you need. And that comes through the Word of God. And with that, you will have a fantastic reality. And I think
wow.
about that when I think about being married to my friend and my wife. You know, my fantastic reality is a whole reality, and she makes my reality whole. She does it.
You're so sweet.
You know what? But if you always can keep that innocence and always hold on to that truth, even in hard times, because it merges for better or for worse.
Right.
Most of the time we want it to always be for better. But in your worst times, you're going to always remember that's your friend.
That's it.
That's the foundation of our marriage is friendship.
That's it.
I don't care if we're going to have marital problems, but when we not friends, I don't like it.
But that's when the rubber meets the road is in those, you know, those trials and tribulations. It's like, you know, is this chick really going to ride for me? I mean, is she going to be there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, not when it's sunny outside and we got money in the bank, you know, whatever the case may be. But when times get tight, you know, is she going to really be there? And that's when, you know, you really, you know, come together.
Right. And the other part I would like to say just to men, just for us as brothers, just like when we met our wives, we saw the vision of what the marriage would be like. You know, they always saw us come through riding on the white horse and here we come to save the day type men. But we saw also what our lives would be like, the white picket fence, the American dream. Now I got it. But when you get it, there is no white picket fence, there is no American dream. But as a man, your purpose is to cultivate what you already seen. Your wife don't know what the end result of what you seen looks like, but you have to cultivate it so that she can understand it.
I want to add one thing to that, and I hear people talk about, you know, marrying their best friend and having friends and all that. Anybody ever had a friend that they had a falling out? I mean, a good friend.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. We all have.
And you knew this was a friend, and you had a falling out. The difference between that and your wife is the commitment. And
exactly.
You understand the commitment, okay, it goes deeper than the friendship. It goes to
there
the point
go.
Of, I have a covenant with this woman. Lord, I've got a covenant with this woman. It's deeper than a friendship. It's deeper than a commitment. It is a covenant, and this is it. There's no out. When you realize that and you take that divorce off the table and you realize I've got a covenant with this woman, it's so much deeper than this is my best friend. Because, you know, you can have fallen out with friends. But in a covenant, You can't get out. This is it. And when you two come together in a covenant and realize this is it, we've got to make it through this, you don't give yourself that out, because the relationship that you have is so entwined that it doesn't matter. When you come to that, and that's the foundation of the marriage, even deeper than a friendship, but a covenant between you, your wife, and the Lord, it doesn't matter what happens. You can look at your wife and say, I don't like you right now. And if any of you brothers say, you know, you've never gotten to that point, either you haven't been married long enough or you're not being honest. There's times that you don't like your wives. There's things they do, there's things they say, there are things that happen that you don't like them.
Yep.
But if you have a covenant, and it doesn't matter whether you like them or not, this is what it is, and you're going to make it through, because you have a covenant between you and the Lord. Lord, I'm going to honor this woman as unto you. And if she makes me mad, if I'm not happy with her, if she's not my friend right now, as a matter of fact, right now, I don't want to be around her.
You can
but
say
that.
That
doesn't
again.
Matter. See, that's the crux.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead. I think you're going to ask, too.
Just real
go
quick,
ahead,
real quick. Does your wife cook grits?
Boy, you lost your mind.
I just want to know, would you tell your wife you don't like her today? Is she around a pot of grits?
I can't tell you what. There's times, and I'm going to tell you what. There's times that I do not like to be around my wife. And I need some space.
I'm being real.
There's times that I need to walk away and I need to shut my mouth so I don't say something that I don't want to say.
That's the truth, because I love him with
everything in me, but there's times that I need to walk away because me rises up and I want to say something that I know if I say it, I'm going to regret it. You see, and if the smart thing to do, and most of the time I walk away, and we have a relationship where we know where we say, this is not the time to talk about this. And we know, and we both walk away.
Simon, go ahead.
I got to ask you this, because y'all know I'm that guy in these conversations, because I'm what I'm going
sure.
through. But what that thing that you that you walk away from your wife from whatever the situation is, you don't have to voice it. But in your mind, when it's a situation where you don't like your wife and whatever she's doing, you don't like it, you know you need to walk away. When you come back, if she's still acting that way and you walk away and you come back again and she's still that way and you walk away and you come back because you're trying to stay calm but you want to come back to her, my question is, you may have that realization of what marriage and the covenant, and you understand the covenant that you have, but if she don't, what do you do about that? Do
you need
stay married?
No. At that point, you need some help, okay? Because...
Let me finish this, because one of the things that's always been said, you know, you can't take... I don't even know the saying, but you can't. A dog is a dog, you know. If it barks like a dog, it's a dog. You know, a dog can dress up and you paint stripes on a dog that don't make it a zebra. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So if that person is that's how that person is. Do you stay?
Well, here's the thing. One thing that my wife and I had done from the beginning was we committed to each other, to the Lord, that we were not going to leave. We put parameters around our marriage that if things happened that we couldn't solve, we had couples that we could go to prearranged before we got into the issues that we could go to that either one of us could turn to and say, okay, we're going to invoke this situation, we're going to go to this couple, and whatever they say, they're going to solve it, but the marriage is off the table. So we did this before we got married. We did this to protect our marriage. Now, we've never had to go to that point because we've been, you know, been able to deal with the issues through the word, through talking, different things. But we knew the marriage was off the table because this is what we decided to do in front of God. This is what we want to do. We're going to be married. It doesn't matter. Like I said, divorce is off the table. Murder's on, but divorce is off. Okay?
Yeah, I don't understand that.
So when we have couples that we could go to that we would say, we need help. There's times that we cannot, because of our closeness to a situation, we couldn't solve it. So we have couples that we agreed that we would go to if we had issues that we couldn't solve.
So they're like an advisory committee.
Exactly.
So what are the... Not being silly, what are the qualifications for these members of this committee?
So we have two couples, and actually both are pastors, and whatever the situation is, that we would lay the situation out, and they would go to the Word of God and give us the advice on what the Word of God said, and we would both accept that, whatever it was.
That's not real.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sorry, brother, because it came out blunt. But what I'm saying is that we all made the vow. Every one of us made the ultimate vow and with the vows, one of the things was for better or for worse.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is if one person just don't accept it, and that's my point, if one person just, like, well, I just don't see it that way. You know, this couple, you know, Pastor such and such and Evangelist such and such said this, and this is what the words say, but you know what? I don't accept that.
Is your marriage...
Hold up.
Is your marriage worth more than being right?
See, that's the point that I'm saying to you. It could be worth more than being right to me all day. But if the other person, if to her, or if it's me, and I'm just speaking about in my situation, if to her it just ain't worth it.
If the marriage isn't worth more, and somebody wants to leave, they're going to leave.
All right, that's what I'm saying. Because what it sound like, what you were saying, and what it would sound like, okay, and I agree with you. You know, I felt like this, and this is really what I truly believe, but I had to get out that divorce isn't an option. But I came to the point that, you know what, divorce was the option for me because she ain't going to never change.
Well,
there's nothing that until she decides she wants to change, and she just decided she's not going to change, I can't be crazy and sit up here and just keep on going. I don't believe that God want me to be crazy and kid up people.
Is it your job? Hold on.
Let's let some other people get on, because I know there's a lot of people on the line and I keep even hearing the same voice. So let's let some other people interact. Go ahead.
Okay.
I heard somebody get ready to say something.
I was saying, you know, that's our nature. Fight or flight, from a male perspective. So I truly understand what my man's saying. When you feel like that other person they just not getting it. I think we had a conversation before where we talked about where it said treat your wife as the weaker vessel. Our job is to cultivate that feeling. Like my wife seemed to have no regard for my feelings, but then I don't know how to communicate to my wife my feelings. All I do is walk away. So what I'm learning to do now is I have to communicate in good times how I felt and how this affected me. You know, be vulnerable where I'd be like, look, you know, what you did in this way, you know, I really didn't appreciate. But his, you know, and just try to find ways to communicate it to where she began to understand the way that I think, the way that I process things, and maybe she'll be more considerate next time. You know, but I can't change her at all. I just have to change the response that I give to my emotions whenever she do something.
Good words.
But I guess what Simon is talking about, and I say that I'm dealing with this right now. You know, the last couple of days, you know, I come home and I almost have to go back out and make sure I'm at the right house because my kids are here. But this, you know, this woman, I'm just like, her tone the last couple of days is just off the hook. And, you know, I try to tell her about it, but, you know, at the Simon's point, you know, I'm not at the point where, you know, we won't get it right. You know, we'll have it right in the next couple of days. But, you know, what Simon is pointing to is probably the triangle. Whereas, you know, say, for example, you got, you know, the triangle, you got God at the top of the triangle, you got, you know, yourself on the left-hand side of the triangle, you got your wife on the right-hand side. And if you got yourself moving up closer to God and the other person is staying where they are, that's just going to cause separation. You know, so I think that's what Simon is alluding to is that, you know, if you have a person that's just like, you know what, you go ahead and do what you, I ain't, you know, for that, whatever, you know, where you trying to like, yo, let's get this together, let's do it right, let's, you know, let's do this, let's do that. Where the other person is just like, no thanks. So I think that's what he was alluding to. I don't know, Simon, is that what you were
saying? I think
that's precisely, I couldn't have said it better.
Yep,
that's precisely what I was alluding to.
I think that's what it is, too.
Do you give up?
What do you do?
Well, you know what? You don't. It, like you said, I think it's in a man's nature. You know, someone says it's in nature, fight or flight. I think it's in most men's nature to fight. You're going to fight it. You're going to fight regardless of what it is. You're going to fight for what's yours. But you know what? When you get to the point where it's just a futile effort. You've given all that you can give. You've given it to God. I really believe. The God I believe in, I don't think my God wants me to suffer. And so I you know, the things that I'm going through, I've asked God for my forgiveness. I really believe He's forgiven me for what I'm about to do, for this divorce being complete. Because I don't believe that was the right thing. I don't think that we did the right thing.
You said the right thing in getting the divorce?
No, the right thing is getting married.
I don't think we did the right thing.
I think that, you know what, you know, we can go out here and get married. You know, people go to Vegas. The athlete that just married the Kardashian girl, he just married her. They had their one weekend or whatever, and he married her. You know, that might be love at first sight. God bless him. I hope it is. But some people just get married on a whim, and I don't think that was of God. You know, everything that you do just because you make a covenant to God don't make it of God because you made a covenant to God. I made this promise to God. If I promise you, God, these terrorists, I'm killing all these people, these innocent people in the name of God. Now, that ain't right.
Yeah, my wife says all the time, you know, that anybody can have a wedding. You know, it's all about staying married. You know, it's all about staying married. But anybody can, you know, get together and have a get together and, you know, say the vows and, but it's all about staying married. You know, if you're gonna make that commitment, you know, what's the whole point of just, you know, the showpiece.
But even though it's our decision, it's still his covenant.
Yep.
And so if it's his covenant, he has instructions for his covenant. I don't care if you got married in high school and y'all was too young to even know what y'all was doing, it's like getting in a Lexus. And this lesson's got all these features in it, but you don't know how to operate these features. Then what you going to have to do? You got to get the manual to figure out how to function in this car.
I was going to be honest and say I would just go back to the dealership and be like, what is this button do? that's what I would
do.
I know you're supposed to read it, because I want to say this, and this is one of the things. I hear the covenant piece in there, but like I said, you know, I'm not one of these cats that's real versed in religion and the word and all that thing. You know, I pull it out every now and then, and I remember things every now and then. So to me, when I say that I wanted to spend forever with a friend, to me that's bigger. And I know that's unfortunate, but I'm learning. But to me, that friendship piece is bigger. Yes, I've had falling out with some friends and things like that. But in this aspect, with this person, with this woman, with my wife, I've never had that. And ultimately, I think, you know, why we all get married is because we want to be happy. I mean, you want to be happy with somebody. And I think that's one of the things that allows me to continue to stay, you know, truly committed to the meaning of our friendship, our relationship, our marriage is because I want to be happy. And this person makes me happy, and I make her happy. And we work at being happy together.
What happens when you don't make each other happy?
But see, that's the thing, though. I guess, you know, and I like to say this. Yeah, that's a great question. My wife will tell you all day long that I'm the person that always goes negative before positive. But in this one situation, and this is the great thing about it, for one thing in my life, one thing, I never feel like it's going to go wrong. I never feel like it's not going to not be happy. And I've had a lot of things happen to me. And I know that that may be stupid.
Nope.
It may be absurd. But I honestly feel that way. And that's one of the things that I think when I look at it, you know, I'm real simple with it. You know, the semantics, the upper tier equations, I'm gonna dumb it down all day and keep it simple. I just wanna be happy. And the basic piece behind it here is, you know, the covenant, I get it. You know, I went to the marriage, the marital stuff and the council with the minister and all of that, did all that, you know, and I but the covenant, I'm getting it, I understand it, but to me, it's the friendship. Because I agree with what the gentleman's saying.
Let me give you something.
Okay.
Let me give you something, bro, for real. Let me give you this. Your wife being your friend is just one of the things that she is to you. Your wife is bigger than a friend. Because I got homeboys, I got homegirls that's my friend that make me happy, but I didn't stand before God. I ain't none of them I stood before God with but my wife. So your wife is bigger than your friend. She your friend amongst other things.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, we're making it. I understand and I get that. But that's what I'm saying. You know, the basic point of it is the friend piece. I think sometimes we're just making it more complex than it has to be. I mean, I get that she's more than just a friend. I have female friends and friends that are out there and stuff like that. I understand. But what I'm saying is that the basic point behind it is happiness and spending my forever with a friend.
Well, what happens when you don't like her?
This is what I'm saying, and I've been in those situations where I've had to tell her, look, I don't really like you right now, so
right.
I'm going to go outside and cut this grass, and I'm going to go after that, take this run around the block, and do a couple calisthenics on this, get that run in. But, I mean, I've been in that situation. But I can honestly say that in this one scenario, in this one aspect of my life, this one choice in my life, this is the one where I'm not thinking negative.
I might be a fool for it.
It may play out. It may gut my back out later. Right. But this is this one time where I'm not thinking that, and that's the beauty of it.
Listen, buddy, you keep your focus.
I can honestly sit here and say this is the one time in my miserable life that I can seriously say that this person and this situation and my commitment and my marriage with this, I'm not thinking negative. I can think negative about a million other things. Believe me, it's an arsenal in this piece waiting for negativity to come through the door. You know what I'm saying? But in this one area, I don't know. I might be a fool for this. I may be on a call a couple years from now saying a different tune. But in this moment, you know what? I feel free. I feel alive. I feel safe. And it has nothing to do. Now I got to read up on the covenant. Like I said, you know, I'm in the classroom, but I'm sitting in the back. I got to read up on it. But right now, I feel positive. And I think that's something to be said. And I think what also it is me knowing me. It's because I've always been Mr. Negativity. I've always been that. You know, you guys were talking earlier about how it's in women's nature. But you know what? It's in guys' nature, too. Guys, not gods. Guys' nature, too. Because I'm that guy. I've been that guy. I've been that person that people don't want to hang around with because, you know, we going into a place and like, nah, there's only one way in. I'm not going in there. That's not safe. Nah, if we go this way, it's not going to be this. You know, have you thought this through? And I'm the one bringing, as they say, the downer or the bringing the mood down or killing the buzz without drinking. You know what I'm saying? But in this one aspect of my life. I'm that guy. You know what I'm saying? But I'm in this one aspect, it really is not that way. And all it is that I got somebody that has never done me wrong with some basic concepts of the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's my life. And that's so basic. It's the most elementary thing in the world. We skip down the street with our little kids singing that song. The golden rule. And that's what I'm living by. I've had friends that have led me astray, you know, done all this stuff because they're not doing it. But my wife, my friend,
man,
that has not happened. And
what's your name?
What's
your name?
Minnesota.
Huh?
I'll tell you my name, Peyton.
Peyton, let me tell you something, Peyton. It said in the Bible, whatever is praiseworthy, talk about such things. You're going to leave a legacy for your kids and your kids' kids if you keep
right.
that attitude. You're breaking generational curses that we have accepted, and things that our kids won't stand a chance if we keep certain attitudes. But if we can give our kids that attitude towards our wife, their mother, their sister, their wife, their daughters, this attitude that you're talking about, man, is phenomenal. So I think it's praiseworthy. I think that it's legacy building.
Yeah,
and just keep that.
I just want
don't
to
let nobody
appreciate that.
Distract you from that.
I just want to follow up on what the brother just said is that, you know, ask yourself your question, you know, for those that are married. When's the last time you just thank God for your wife? I mean, just simple as that, not for that good
Amen,
meal she cooked or the job she has or how she does with the kids or whatever. When have you just sat down and said, you know what, thank you, Lord, for my wife. Thank you. Cause I know,
every
you
moment.
I know I do that, you know, all the time because, I feel that I don't deserve it. You know,
every night,
yeah.
Man, every night.
Yeah. And that's honestly when I think about, you know, when I got married, people that were there, you know, they witnessed somebody cry themselves to death. That was me the whole time. And I mean, it wasn't like a basic little tear
wow.
or whatever. It was like falling out, like somebody stole your bike type of crying. And people
stole
that were
precious.
There, honestly,
somebody stole precious.
When it was over, people were coming up and they were like, where were you? Like, there was something else going on. What? And you know what it was? Is I couldn't believe that this person has shown me all these things and was able to adhere to this golden rule for this long and is wanting to be with me. And I have done so much to not deserve it.
What? Come on, man.
I have done so much to not deserve it.
Come
I mean,
on, man.
And what I'm saying is, I mean, I've been that person, like I said, you know, you coming me the wrong way, you know, I'm not gonna flee, I'm gonna fight, you know, and I'm gonna definitely state my point, and you know, I'm gonna find fault in what you're saying, and may have a loaded question or two to lead you down a path. That's me. But you know what? Standing there that day, and having her basically walk down this aisle and looking at all that. That, I mean, it was just this person was taking me for me.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask the brothers a question. Do you remember that day?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You remember that?
Yeah,
day?
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I actually, they started singing a song, and my wife got delayed for some reason. I was about to go down the aisle to see where she was. And when she opened up that door, when they opened up that door, it was nobody else in the room that mattered.
Yeah.
It was an angel
yeah.
coming my way.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even believe that, one, I was standing there to receive anything this great in my life. I never received nothing that great.
Yeah.
And then even when he went through the vows, at any point she could have said, no.
Right.
And she said, I do.
Yep.
Wow.
Hey, but you know what? Believe it or not, from Mr. Negativity, because I guess I feel negative, but I have to put this. But believe it or not, I still feel that way about the day that I got married. I still can say that when I got married, that's how I was. I can remember the night before my bachelor party. And, Lord, my bachelor party. I can remember.
You
remember?
Leave
and I'm gonna say, I can remember.
Yeah, but I won't say specific, but I can remember, like, my stepfather was telling me, like, hey, man, you know, we got the room set up for you. This your last night, because after this is over, we got these three girls. They're going to the room. And I said to him, I said, hey, man, I don't want nothing to do with them chicks. Do you know who I'm getting married to tomorrow? You know, I didn't want, and for real, I still feel the absolute same way considering my situation. I don't want to get it twisted. I think that the decision that I'm making as far as a divorce is the right decision, but I still feel that way about marriage itself, that my idea of marriage was truly to death do us part, for better or for worse. And I'm not so bitter that I'm not gonna get married. I know I'm gonna get married again. I know I'm gonna find the right person that I'm gonna be married to again. So I still feel that same way. And I say all this to say this again to the brother in Minnesota. I say all this to say this, that in those vows, when they say for better or for worse, right now, and I believe, and I've met people that ain't never had, they talk about they ain't never had an argument, and I believe they ain't never had an argument after 50 years. I believe that about them. You have to consider still that if you do get to that point with your friend, with your wife, that it is a situation that arises, will you be able to still feel the same way that you feel right now when that situation arises, or if that situation ever arises that she hurt you in a way, or she cut your back out, like she ain't never cut your back out before, did she cut your back out? Are you going to still be able to go, keep going?
That's happened to me. And one of the things that I always think that a woman is just a reflection of her husband. And one of the things, whenever it happened, I always got to ask myself, I invest in everything that I enjoy. I invest in golf. I invest in clothes. I invest in cars. I invest in everything that I enjoy. But I never invest in my merch. And when I'm not investing in my merch, that's when things go haywire. That's when all hell break loose. I think all merges need time. I think it need time to always get new information, so that we can try to, and new information, because sometimes your wife don't even listen to you. I could tell you to tell her something, and she could do what you said. And I said it, but when I said it to her, she didn't hear it. But sometimes getting her around to a point where she can hear, both of you can hear the error of your ways, and y'all can start to correct them so that y'all can grow closer. But every time hell break loose in my marriage, when hell broke loose in my marriage, and I really thought it was quits, I realized I never made an investment. So I didn't know anything new. All I knew was, all I was doing was carrying out what the off of the information I'd already had, and that information was stale. If that answers your question, I hope. So if you're not making an investment into it, you're not going to get anything out of it.
Yeah, that makes sense, Marcus, too. And I was going to respond a little bit to Andrew, because I know Andrew had asked a question, and I kind of put myself in a monkey wrench a little bit, too, because my wife would be truly being my best friend. I have pretty much eliminated everybody else, my homeboys, because I believe that once you get married, you have to somewhat eliminate your homeboys. Not eliminate them, but the things that y'all used to do, you can't do no more.
Yep.
Certain places they go, you can't go. I mean, it is what it is. The person that
That's
you hang
true.
Out with is your wife. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I got to the situation where I would rather be with her than be with anyone. And it was good because it was convenient. It's healthy. You know, I don't have to worry about who I'm going to hang out with, what I'm going to do, where I'm going to go. I would talk to her in the morning, say, what are we going to do tonight? And boom, that's it. Those are the plans. And I would never, in the back of my mind, wonder, well, yeah, but what are the fellas doing? I wonder if I'm missing something, because I really wasn't missing something. But what Andrew said was, when you get upset and you don't want to be around your wife, what do you want to do? Well, I'm jammed.
because I done cut all my homeboys off. So I got to hang out with her when I'm mad. There's no place for me to go. One night I got mad. I said, man, I want to roll out, but there was no place to go. It wasn't the daytime where I could go play golf. This is night. So I'm like, man, I mean, you know, I don't go to the club.
That's when you take that
I don't
night
go
job.
To the bar.
Take that night run.
Night run. I got to start, you know, night run. You know, there was no football game on, so I couldn't go to the sports bar. It was like a weeknight. So there was nothing I could do. And I'm sitting there like, man, I am really, I've jammed myself up. But it's a good thing. And,
I said, especially if it wasn't a Tuesday night.
It's not a Tuesday. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
One of those nights. Man, yeah, you're right. It was one of those nights I just didn't want to be bothered, man. She got on my nerves so bad. I said, I just want to get in my car and drive. But there was no place to go. You know what I mean? So to answer your question, Andrew, I think that, you know, sometimes they do piss you off. But you got to figure out exactly, you know, where you can go and what you can do to keep yourself from getting in some kind of trouble.
You know what's crazy about this whole thing is that I can honestly say that throughout the whole course of any argument or disagreement or discussion that we've had, you know, we're able to say, you know, I don't really like you right now, but I'm very much in love with you. And I think that's what we start a lot of our conversations with or end them with or whenever we need to take a break or whatever, because that's never in question. I mean, and I think that's the big aspect of it because it's like, yeah, I mean, that's just a given. You're not going to like things. I mean, that's going to happen. You're not going to like people, you know, but the foundation of who that person is and what that person brings to the table, the morals, the values, the love that they present, the love that they give and provide to your family, that's not, I mean, that's never in question. I mean, there are times that I'm sure, and some of you gentlemen have probably experienced that, in some capacity with taking a step to move on with a divorce and things like that. But, I mean, for me, it's never in question. That's never the question. It's just that we are disagreeing on this small thing in this multifaceted aspect of our marriage. It is not bigger than the marriage, and that's ultimately what it comes down to.
And I think to even articulate that is really powerful. Because, you know, like I say, I mean, even right now, I don't even think I can say that to my wife. I mean, I'm a bit heated right now. I mean, so, but, I mean, just to articulate that, say, you know what, I don't really like you right now, but I do love you. You know, I mean, that's really powerful right there. That's powerful.
And I think a lot of times what ends up happening, I know, you know, at first when I was, you know, was bringing this out, you know, and utilizing this and saying these things, and then, you know, I think she probably took it as, all right, you're being silly. But I'm not being silly. I mean, it's the legitimate truth. I mean, I very much love you. It never changes. It's just that right now I'm not really liking you. You know, we're going to be all right. We're going to talk through it. And I think that's one of the biggest things, too, with the, you know, a lot of these things that potentially come up is, you know, being able to, you know, have a dialogue about it, you know, talk with somebody instead of to somebody. And I'm having to learn that because within my marriage there have been times where, you know, she's pointed out to me, you know, you're talking at me. You know, you're not talking with me. You know, you're talking over top of me or you're trying to get your point across or you're loading up so many questions that you lead me down the path and it doesn't matter what I say or what I do, I'm only going in a one way. There's not a two-way on this. But those are the things that I think, you know, ultimately, and I've said this on a lot of calls, that communication piece. And I think, you know, that is, that's so huge. And I do want to say this. I want to go back to the covenant piece. It's not that I don't want to learn about the covenant. It's not that I don't want to get to that aspect. It's not that I don't want to get better with understanding God and faith and religion and Christianity, because it is. I do want to get better, and that's why I'm on the call. But in this interim and for the years right now, it has been some of these basic things, the golden rule, friendship, and things like that. And by just keeping it simple and just keeping it basic, it can work. It can work. I'm an example of it. But I'm going to get better. And that's why I like being on this call and talking with you gentlemen is because I'm hearing about different things and I'm figuring out how that is, you know. What was that? Hello?
I don't know. But
let
me say something about that communication piece. Like my man said, just to be able to convey your feelings and be vulnerable. A couple weeks ago, I was driving. I had left the house. I was pissed off. I was driving. I was driving, and when I was riding to myself, and I do this to get alone, I began to think about all the women who who possibly I could have possibly married. I started thinking about that. And I said, why you left?
No, you on my screen, bro. No, go ahead.
I started thinking about all the women that I could possibly marry. And I knew that if I took any of them, one girl that I was actually dating, her husband ended up getting killed. So I'm saying, what if I'd have married her? That'd have been my lot. But outside of that, I came back home. I was pissed off. Me and my wife wasn't even talking. And I came up to her and I said, you know what? I made a lot of mistakes in life. And I continue to make mistakes in life. But one thing that I know wasn't a mistake, and that was me choosing you.
Mm-hmm.
And we ain't stopped talking since. That's all I said to her. And I was real vulnerable when I said it to her. I was like, you know, I know me choosing you was not a mistake in life. You was one of the best decisions I ever made.
And that's it, that vulnerability. I mean, that communication. Sometimes it's simple. It's the simple stuff that really makes some of the biggest impacts. You know, I think a lot of times for us guys, we think we got to go out, buy something, do something, get something, go somewhere, take a trip, plan this, go to dinner. It's not all that. You know, take it back to first grade. Just build a card. You know, cut something out with a pair of scissors and a heart, and draw something in it, and hand it to her.
Write
do something
a
note. In it.
Do you love me? Circle yes or no.
I mean, it's that
check
basic.
The
but
right.
What happens? I think we
she's gonna say maybe.
Maybe right. Maybe it's
right.
Maybe,
right.
But
maybe.
I still don't like you right now.
Right.
You know. But I mean, that's a key point. One of the things that allowed me to recognize too that, you know what, I was gonna spend forever with a friend, and this woman is a woman for me, was, man, I was able to cry around her, you know, and talk about things. And you know what? She ain't try to do anything but just sit there, put her arms around me, and just let me cry, talk it out.
Wow.
You know, you remember that scene from Boys in the Hood when old boy came in after he was in the car and got let out, he was swinging his arms around, and Neil Long was just standing there just looking at him as Cuba Gooding was swinging his arm around, and the cops had just tried to pull him over. That's what she did. She just sat there.
Y'all
she just sat there wrapped the arms around me.
Y'all brothers know you would have cried too, Neil Long standing there.
You know what I'm saying? But that vulnerability. And that ability to do stuff is that's that forever with a friend. I mean, you know, I mean, I never feel like I can't. I don't feel any less as a man. I don't feel like I can't do anything. I can share my fears, all of that, you know. And that's what I mean by, you know, hey, she met me where I was. You know, I didn't have to get to a certain point. I didn't have to up my stakes and my status. You know, all that stuff. Oh, you know, you're driving this. I need you to be in this. I didn't have to do all of that because I knew that she knew that we were going to work on it together. And I did, too.
A suitable helper.
You know, and that's what we've done. We worked on it together.
A
it's a struggle. Helper. It's a battle, you know, because honestly, I will say this, gentlemen, being married is the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life. It's not, I mean, it's the hardest thing I've ever had to do. And I said it before, my battle is choice. It's always been that way. And you know, and someone said, you know, that's all of our battles is choice. Well, for me, it has literally always been that. But this is the hardest thing I've had to do. But you know what? There is nothing that has ever been this hard that I'm not more committed to get better at than this.
I'm gonna tell you something. I like what he just said, and I don't want to overlook it at all, because this is one of the reasons why I'm on the call, because marriage is hard. Marriage is hard because I don't know what tomorrow look like. I never seen this model before. But being on this call makes marriage that much more enjoyable.
Yep.
And that much more. I appreciate going back off these phone calls and working at the things that we talk about.
Yeah.
Peyton, you might have shared something, and you don't even know. I'll just go back later and share, or the next man might share something. And then I applied in my marriage, and being vulnerable, I might apply being vulnerable and see a result that I never thought, because I always thought men had to be macho.
Mm.
You know, men don't cry. Or I also had my wife, I told my wife something and she flipped it on me. But that doesn't mean
never share again, that might just mean, all right, try another way. Be more, you know, be more vulnerable. So this, these calls make my marriage stronger.
Can I ask a question? And, I'm asking this question. This happened to me today, and this is a true question I want to ask. I'm truly asking for opinions from the brothers. My she's still my wife. She emailed me our divorce decree today, right? And so I'm reading over. Now, in the same conversation that she's emailing us to get, she didn't even know my email address. This is my wife. I've been with this woman for 10 years. And we're getting divorced or whatever. She emailed me this, and this is what she asked me. She said, Simon, could you put me back on your health insurance? Because this new job that I got today said that I can't get health insurance for the next 120 days. What would you do?
Wow.
That's a... You email me the stuff, and then you asking me to help you out, but you have, listening to what you shared, surrounding things, but you have not been willing to really work with me on things for our marriage to get better. That's a tough one.
Whose decision was to get divorced?
That's a good question.
Her decision. Let me tell you now. Let me say all of this, and I'm not going to be long with it. Let me say this. When your brother was talking about, being married to your wife and loving your wife despite of and the covenant and everything, all of that, working it out, fight or flight and everything like that, I was that guy. And if somebody said, has anybody ever thanked God for their wife? Do you thank God for your wife? Even now, in all of this that I've been going through with this woman, I still thank God for it. But I thank God for it in what I've learned. And I don't put no addendum on it. I just thank God for it. But God knows my heart and what I'm thanking God, why I'm thanking God. I'm thanking God for bringing this woman in my life, for me being able to realize some things, to being able to grow, being able to be a better Simon. But with all that said, even thanking God for my wife, and she gonna have that's our ticket. Like, you gonna have the audacity to ask me that. And I still, even in this conversation, this question right here that I'm asking y'all, I still had to dwell on it. I had to think.
See, but man, you don't have to be crazy. Okay.
There you go. Hey, somebody.
You don't have to be crazy.
Right.
Yeah, I've been where you're
there
at.
You go.
All right.
Yeah.
You got to, you know, when I got served as divorce papers, it was a wake-up call because I was trying to make it work, all right? And I know what y'all say, ain't no cursing. I was praying for this woman, and you know what? I was praying, all right? But you know what? You got to protect you, all right? Because she's going to take you, bro.
Yeah,
all right?
Don't do that.
Yeah, let me two-step
you.
Let me.
At this point, you know, the B is crazy.
But where you get that from?
Hold on. But when you get bank accounts, don't put that crazy hoe on your insurance. You need to protect you.
But hold on, let me ask you a question. My brother that's sharing that, where you get that from? Where you get that information that you're sharing from?
It was in the email.
I'm talking about you. She's playing you, man. You got to take care of you.
I think he's being facetious. I'm telling you the truth.
I've been there. Ain't no facetious.
I'm telling you
the truth.
I'm with the brother that's telling. I'm with the brother that's talking right now. That's where I really am, because, see, the whole thing I've been talking about, the things that I talk about being that, and I really feel negative because I truly believe that marriage is for better. I really believe that wholeheartedly, but I know God give me good sense, and God don't want me to suffer. That was one of these. This is another moment right here of a good sense moment. I'm not putting this woman on my insurance.
But she's your wife.
I lived through this.
Huh?
When
she's
a woman
your
decides
wife?
It's over, there ain't no coming back. You can do all you can, but she's playing you. You got
is
to
be. Is it still your wife?
I'm telling you, man, I've been there.
Listen,
you can play the game.
You
got to get up on it.
Hold on.
I have to protect you.
Yeah, but let me two-step this.
I'm telling you,
Hold on, fellas. That Simon asked a question to the head of household. I'm going to two-step this. The head of household will put her on the insurance. That's number one. Number two, the head of household would say, you know what, we ain't even got to have this divorce decree. We can go ahead and work it out because all things are possible through Jesus Christ. So, you know, that's what the head of household would say.
Yeah, but the word of God says
Let me tell you what the head of household did. And let me rewind it about a year ago, or a little over a year ago. When she decided that she was gone and she leaving or whatever, she's gone, she's doing her thing. This is the woman that just asked me today to put on insurance. Is the same woman that told me at this time when we was doing re-enrollment at my job. I said, well, you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and be doing re-enrollment. I'm gonna go ahead and leave the insurance. You ain't got to leave me on your insurance. In fact, you don't have to have the kids on your insurance because I got insurance with the job I got. And what the head of household said was, you can go ahead and get off the insurance. I'm going to keep the kids on the insurance.
Bam, that's what
that is. You can go ahead and do what you got to do. If you want to put the kids on your insurance, go ahead and do that too. More insurance is better than no insurance. But I'm going to keep the kids on my insurance. Now, here we go. Fast forward. Over a year later, now you need my insurance.
But
if I had been... See, I was being the head of household, and I think that part of being the head of household. See, the head of household my definition isn't just head of household if you're married. It's the head of household if you're the head of a family. And my decision for this family at that time was: you do what you got to do. You're making your decision. I've tried. I did everything that I can do to try to hold us together, but you want to be gone. It's nothing that I've tried my best. I pray to God that you would understand that, but you just ain't coming along. I got to do what I got to do.
Can I tell you one thing? Can I just say one thing? I'm going to be real blunt with my other man to share too. And I hope this ain't, you don't take it as a judgment.
Condescending.
But if you at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, you don't want to harbor no bitterness. And the advice, where I said, where did you get that from? That advice that he said, I've been there. Well, now if he remarried, he still got it there. So when you let go, I mean, while you still, if she's still your wife and she's still under your protection, even though she made a decision, just as if it was your child, they made a decision that they was going to go do their own thing, you still gonna protect her or protect them in a way because of who you are. If she's still your wife and you putting her on your insurance, what harm is it gonna cost you to put on your insurance? One thing when you let go, and like you said, you will remarry again if this one don't come back. You said you will remarry again, but when you remarry again, you can't take a bitterness from this or unforgiveness from this marriage into your new marriage. And so from my standpoint, I would do all I can to make sure that I'm at peace.
Mm-hmm.
Even if this let go, that I did all that I know I put all my part into it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, two wrongs don't make a right.
This is what I would say. I think you got two sides of the equation, but let's break it down to the most simple aspect of what you need to think about. You need to look at it from the legal standpoint. If this woman gets on your insurance, y'all go through with the divorce, but she's on your insurance and she starts having medical problems, issues like that, who is the insurance in the name of? Who's going to be liable financially for it? Because if you're moving ahead with your life and you get remarried and things like that and you are still paying for an ex-wife, Just think about the legal side of it. If nothing else,
the part that you just said, ex-wife.
Right.
Tell us the ex-wife. Once it's an ex-wife, take off your insurance.
Right.
But as long as she's your wife,
and I think what Simon said earlier,
she's the mother. Hold on, time out. One more thing. She is the mother of your children. If her health go wrong, that's gonna affect the children as well. and daddy gonna have to come through. So if you can put on your insurance, tell a divorce is final, then do so.
Yeah, and I think Simon said earlier that he's not bitter towards. I mean, he was just talking about, you know, the day before his wedding and his wedding,
right,
you know, the
right.
wedding day. So, I mean, I just think that from the head of household, absolutely, put on the insurance, keep it moving. Because when you sleep at night, you know, for those 120 days that, you know, something might happen to her, how would you feel if something happened to her and, you know, she died because she didn't have that insurance that you could have put her on? You know, within that 120-day window.
So let me ask this. She doesn't have any other options. She doesn't know about Cobra or anything. I mean, none of these options. Because here's the thing. All joking aside, she said it to you a year ago. So a year ago to now, she didn't find any. She didn't get in it. Try to figure out the insurance thing, even though the job situation obviously is just now changing. But she don't have any other options. Because I'm seriously looking at it from this standpoint. If you tried and you don't have any bitterness or anything like that, Just seriously look at the leak. Get some legal counsel on that. That's all I'm going to say. And then from there,
let me tell you.
Can still do the head of household and make the best decision possible, but get the most basic, you know, understanding that there is, and that's the legal side.
But this, you're the same one we're talking about your wife being your friend, right?
Right, but in this situation, if my friendship is crushed, like I said, if I'm a fool a year from now, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna still think it through, and that's the thing. It's like in the midst of the things that are going on, you still shouldn't lose your wits about you to be able to make good financial decisions for yourself, for your children, whomever else. All I'm saying is just look into the legal side of it. You can still make your decision and be the head of household, and if you want to decide that, oh, you know what, we're still married, we're not divorced yet, fine. But at least you know what you're getting into. You don't have to be blind. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. Now, for the brothers that have like, when we first started, or when I first got on the head of household conversation, a lot of the brothers probably will remember this, and initially, I was still at a point of bitterness. I was no good with her because I felt like that this woman seen me. She seen me trying to do my best, and I was bitter about it. And the head of household has been a part of it. It ain't been the whole thing, but it's been a part of me being able to, like, I ain't bitter about that woman. I'm not bitter about her at all. But somebody's going to tell me this, and I know. I do believe that there's somewhere in the Bible, because the Bible addresses everything. The Word addresses everything. That God don't want you to be no fool. And I think that I would be an absolute fool. I thought about that. I thought about you know, what it means for the kids. She's, you know, technically she's still my wife. You know, and as far as God is concerned, she's still my wife. But at the same time, I can't be crazy. I don't think God wants me to be crazy in a situation like that. So I truly made up my mind. I haven't told her, but I truly made up my mind that I'm not putting her on my insurance. This woman right now got a guy over there with my children, living in her house with my kids, and we ain't divorced. I'm not going to be crazy about that. I'm not going to be silly about it. And it ain't even a matter of principle. Ain't no principle in this, anything like that. It's just that the truth of the matter is I can't help you like that no more.
I ain't mad at you.
I ain't mad at you either. And you know what, Simon? We can give you all of our perspective of it, but you really know, you know what I'm saying, the ins and outs of what's happened, the things that she's done, her, you know, just whatever it is. So, you know better than us. I mean, you know, I would probably say the same thing as Rodney said. Rodney spoke up for, you know, the head of the house, so I would probably agree with that. I would also agree with the fact that put a time period on it, and also check with your attorney, because you don't want to be liable for, you know, keeping her on your insurance forever because it's something that happened while y'all was still married. You know. So there's a lot of things, you know. But then again, you got the kids over there. She's the mother of your kids. If something goes wrong, she got to still be healthy. You know what I mean, to take care of these kids. So there's a lot of things for you to think about, but only you really know what we don't know.
Good word.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. And one thing that I always carry, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still.
Got that right.
So at the end of the day, like you said, a year ago we gave you some advice. You got some advice, and obviously it wasn't fruitful for you. And so, but you weren't in agreement with it, so it didn't produce no fruit. You know what you need to do. You know, and at the end of the day, all we did was share, but since we are head of household and we are men of God, the Spirit will make it clear to you what you will do, what you need to do.
You know what's funny, though? I asked the question because I knew Rodney was going to say something. I had to think about it. I was already made up, but I asked that question. I wanted to hear what Rodney had to say.
Well, that's what's up. Well, I appreciate it because I know that if something happened between me and my wife, that's what I would do. I mean, and that ain't no joking around. If she was like, you know, forget you then. I don't need your stinking insurance. And then a year later she come back, I say, you know what, absolutely. You need anything else? I mean, and that's real talk, you know, because I, you know, just like you said, Simon, you still love her. You still got that, you know, she's the mother of your children, you know. So I think, you know, that's where I'm pulling from. You know, not to say, well, you know, she's got some man, you know, over there or whatever, not from that perspective, to say, you know what, I don't really want anything bad to happen to her. I wouldn't rest well, you know, for those 4 months or whatever. So, you know, that's just me, you know.
Hey, Rodney, wait. I got to say, see, you ain't been in the place where this woman has done these things. See, I've been where he's at, all right? You get to a point where you're like, hey, look, I got to do me because you're trying to destroy me. And I'm telling you, I understand what you're saying, Rodney, but I'm going to tell you what. Until you've been in a place where a woman says, I'm going to destroy you, you see, you don't understand what the situation this brother's going through.
Yeah, and I feel you on that, but I think you said the key word, do me. You know, I'm talking about doing God. What would God do in a situation? Will he put on the insurance? And I'm always in the ideal. You know, and again, you know, I agree with the legal advice and all that, but I mean, it's like, what would the ideal situation be? That's where I always try to come from, my perspective.
But I'm gonna tell you, I'm drawing a parallel because what that brother just said. See, he know without even me saying it. He know hearing me what I was saying. What would God do when Jesus was out in the wilderness? And he was hungry. Jesus was hungry. He was weary. And the devil was sitting there, and he was tempting Jesus, and he was testing Jesus. Because remember, Jesus, now, he came in the flesh for a reason. He came in the flesh for to be tested. Now, and this is one of them tests right here. This is one of them things where, you know what, that if I wanted to go ahead and fall for it, I'd go ahead and eat. I'll go ahead and fall off the mountain and let the angels catch me before my feet, you know, hit the ground. I would do that, but I'm not doing it. This is not, I'm not going to fall because she see that I'm weary. Every single time through all this thing, and still up to this day, every single time that I needed this woman help. And this ain't no, I got you now. But when I need this woman help, she wouldn't help me. In fact, she tried her best to tear me down. And I mean, she tried to tear me down. This woman tried to get me locked up on some mess that I could, you don't get locked up for. You know, you can almost sue anybody for anything, but you don't get locked up for. She tried to get me locked up. The mother of my child tried to get me locked up, and now it's to the point that, okay, Simon, under my convenience right now, now I need you to do something for me. I'm not being spiteful. I'm not. I don't even feel good about it, but it is what it is.
I think you got your answer, Simon. I think that you actually knew your answer. You just wanted some confirmation. And I, you know what, and it's good to get confirmation. I think you know, of all the things that you said that you've been through, I'm going to tell you this. Mine asked me, when I got divorced, mine asked me, and we were divorced. It wasn't no getting divorced. We were just recently, the ink was still wet on the papers. And she said, look, and she had just, same situation, she just started a new job, and she said, can I get on your insurance for like 3 months or whatever till her probationary period was up? And I would have done it. And the reason why I would have done it is because
She helped me on her insurance for years, but we were married, but still she paid it. You know what I mean? That was her thing. She took care of the insurance. The reason why I didn't do it is because I was already involved with somebody else who didn't agree. She said, it's over. Everything is over. Y'all done. Let her get her own insurance. And I had to roll with it because I had to respect the person that I was with. You know what I'm saying? So you got to respect yourself at this point because you already know what she's capable of. You already know, you know, that maybe she didn't help you. You didn't have the same reason that I had. I had reason to do it because she had helped me in the past. But you don't have those same situations. So I think you already got the answer to your question.
Yeah, and I'll just say this. I just always say, you know, the head of household really takes the hard route. You know, the road less traveled. You know, that's what I get on the calls for, you know, because I'm thinking, man, I need to go up and kiss my wife and say, you know, I'm sorry, you know. You know, it was your tone, but I'm sorry, you know, for not speaking to you, giving you a silent treatment. Because, I mean, that's the hard route. That's you know, the easy route with me to be, you know, to sleep in the other room. You know, but I like Tony said, you know, I think that, you know, you kind of knew where you were going with this, and you just, you know, put it out there for confirmation. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Simon, you got to deal with Simon's decision on the matter, you know. But you got some different perspectives on that, and I'm sure you'll value those perspectives.
Right, and let me tell you, and what you just said, let me tell you, that is the decision that I truly have made. And you're right, I want a confirmation. But the decision I truly have made, I really feel like that is the hard decision. I think the decision that I made is the tough way to go, because in my mind, I almost look at it like when you know you see these interventions, this tough love. You know,
it's harder to tell her no, man. It's harder to tell her no. We know that.
It's hard.
It's easier for you to give in. You've been giving in all these years. Why you want to stop now, right? It's harder to tell her no.
Right.
Is what it is.
And
we there with
and
you.
And that is the truth. That is the truth.
I think to myself, at the end of the day, when for you, you just can't live life with regrets. Like shoulda, woulda, coulda. If this is your decision, then that's your decision, and that's what you. And whatever shoulda, woulda, coulda come out of it, you don't have a regret that I shoulda, woulda, coulda. You know what I'm saying? But if so, once you convince. And once you settle the matter, you know, through, like you said, putting it out there through prayer and stuff like that, and it's clear to you, there's no shoulda, woulda, coulda.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? So whatever probabilities happen from that point, the provisions was already made, you know.
Absolutely.
So.
Good word.
You know, one of the things that I'm sitting here, you know, I'm hearing a lot of different scenarios and people are sharing a lot of different stuff. I wonder if we should revisit what, I don't know if we have before, but it seems like there's a lot of different perspectives on what the actual head of household means and is. Because we when we have these conversations over the past couple of weeks, there's a lot of different, and I know it takes on many shapes and many forms and different things like that, but at some point, maybe we need to talk about what that means to each one of us. In some capacity.
We can. You're right, but you are 1,000% correct, and we need to make that a topic. That needs to be a topic because a lot of us don't have a clue. A lot of people don't have a clue. You know, so you are 100% correct.
I mean, because it's bigger, it's greater than the superficial things of I pay my bills, I keep a roof over the head for my kids. I mean, that's in there. Those are the basics, but obviously it's more than that.
But
and I'd be interested in us really having a dialogue about that.
But I think we do have a dialogue about that every week is that, you know, you get a building block, you know, every week on what, you know, and granted, they're different color building blocks, but, you know, different shapes or whatever, but you get, you find a way to get there. And I think that, you know, ideally you're not going to get, you know, it's the head of your household, you know, it's going to be different, you know, than somebody else's. But again, the foundation is you know is there and is similar, but it may not be the same foundation as what I've got or what Tony has or what somebody else has. So I think that, you know, what we do with these calls is that we do actually talk about it in a sense, you know, just from different angles, you know, different subject matter. But, you know, I agree that, you know, some people are like, well, what is a head of household?
Well, I guess that's what I'm saying is instead of coming at it from different angles, let's hit it head on.
Yeah,
so let's not talk about it in a sense.
There's only one foundation, no matter how, no matter
right,
how
I mean,
you let,
right. We all need to spin it and look at it through different lenses. You know, when you think about being in science class and you using the microscope and flipping around the different optical sizes from 5 times to 3 times, we don't need to do that. What's the microscope?
Right. It's a foundation.
So I'm not, right. What's the foundation? The microscope is the foundation. Don't worry about what lens we're looking at it through. There's something that I think that we probably need to definitively have a conversation about to really figure out what the head of household means. Because there's a foundation to it. Now, there's all types of stuff. I mean, you know, with any house, when you drive through a neighborhood and they're building a house from the ground up, there's certain things that are key in every house. Now, what they do with the design of it and makeup, yeah that's all different. But there's some key things that they better do or it's not going to be the code. And it won't get built.
Well,
it's
going
to fall down eventually.
Good job.
Well, that's the same with marriage. The foundation has to be accountable. The foundation has to have accountability. The foundation has to know exactly what their role is. The foundation can't come in and say, well, I'm only going to do 50%. I'm only going to be 50% strong. You know what I mean? I'm going to leave the bricks to do the rest. No, the foundation has to be 100% strong. When the storm is coming to blow the house down, the foundation, who's the head of the household, has to be able to say, well, I'm the one that's going to keep this house up. When everything is falling down and going crazy, the head of household says, I'm going to get in front of that door and make sure that my house is safe. You know what I'm saying? When my wife is having a bad day, I'm not going to be like, well, what's wrong with you? I'm going to figure out how I can make it better as head of house. There's a lot of things that we take for granted as husbands and what our role is because society has allowed us to believe that you can come into a marriage with 50-50. You see what I'm saying? But when we start accepting 100% and then whatever she gets, she gives us, is a bonus because she was put here to be a helper. That's it. But when we allow her to be the head of the household and to make all the rules and to tell us what to do, blah, 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 and we're sitting back as men, you see what I'm saying? We don't know our roles. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I believe the head of household is, just man up. Do what you're supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? Don't allow your wife to do your job. You see what I'm saying? And let her do her job, but don't allow her to do your job. A lot of times we don't do that. We just say, okay, well, honey, you do this and I'll do that. No, because she can't do what we're supposed to do. Don't have your wife out there cutting the grass.
Right. And one of the things that you said, one of the things you just said was when we understand our roles, it's not really our roles, it's our purpose. Because she might cut the grass or she might pay Chico to cut the grass. But that still don't stop me from fulfilling my purpose in this house.
Exactly.
And so sometimes, like, I might try to open her car door. She might not want me to open up her car door. I think that a man should open a car door for a woman or pull a seat out. She look at me like, you don't get off my seat. You're going to make me fall. But I still have a purpose. So if you just come in the house and try to do a role, it's gonna fail. But if you come in the house with a purpose, you're gonna hit it every time.
You fellas, that's what I'm talking about. Just in that short little 5 minutes, we're hearing so much. So I'm just saying it'd be great, you know, maybe for us to have like a longer conversation about that at some point.
You're right. I mean, the demand that Jesus put on us is something that we will probably never reach. But if we keep shooting for it, we'll be in good standings. When you got to love your wife like he loved the church. I mean, how can you compare to that? How can you even sit down to think about how can you compare to what that means? But if we understand and we get on the path, at least we're on the road to some kind of success. When we don't think that way and we don't think what is required of us, then we're liable to do anything. And that's where cheating comes in. That's where allowing outside interference into your marriage comes in. That's when your mother and your father start talking about how you should run your household and all that other stuff. All these things have to be eliminated. It's about you and that woman, and you are the head of that family. And we have to act accordingly.
Good words.
If this is going to be the topic for next week, there's so much I want to say, I'm holding it, though. Because I want to say so much, but I'm holding it.
I think it's time we think, fellas, for the learning moment. What have we learned? I know we ventured a little off topic, but that's okay. What have we learned? Why did I get married? And I guess I started off, and I'll just say that I strive for the ideal, in all situations, and I don't always get there. But I'll just end with a little, nursery rhyme or kiddie song, and ideally, it's such and such and such and such, sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G, y'all know the song. First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the baby in the baby carriage. And that's the ideal, and I thank God that, I was able to live the ideal, in that situation. My father didn't do it, but, I was able to live the ideal. And I thank God for my wife, and I'm just glad that, she married me for all of my faults, So I got married. I think, Peyton said it best. I might steal his word. I just want to be happy. So I just leave it at that.
You married a friend.
Yeah.
You married a friend.
It is.
My thing.
That's an added bonus.
I want to say mine before my phone go out, but I think that what I've learned, and I don't know the verse right, but, and I'm going to try to say it right, but when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why I believe I got married, because of that good thing. I think it's a good thing. That's what I tonight. That's what I've gotten out of tonight. Out of everything that's been said, the one thing that it came, even with my pessimism and things like that, with everything that's been said, I think the one thing that every one of us can agree on, that marriage or finding that wife or finding one, it ain't a bad thing.
And the other part of that scripture say, and favor from the Lord.
Mm.
And so I'll piggyback off that, where it said, in favor from the Lord. I learned that that in me finding my wife, the favor that I found from God is me being a better man, me being
Amen.
A stronger man, me being me growing, in, her giving me the ability to grow in my confidence, her giving me the ability to be myself, her giving me the ability to be able to see when I'm weak and give me strength. And so the favor is that now that I'm married, which I never thought I would ever be, and I never thought that it was for me or that it would last, but now that I'm married, that I have the favor that it takes for me to continue on.
Good words. And let me throw something else in here too, fellas. We have to keep one thing in mind. Peter says that the woman is the weaker vessel. And it's not a matter of being weak, but we talked earlier about how the woman looks up to us and they expect certain things. We have to be very careful when we expect certain things from them too as well. And if they fall short being the weaker vessel, not being that they're weaker than us, but we have to be that much stronger, I think that that's what that means. So we have to be in a situation where we can understand and we have to be more forgiving to them, because they may fall short a little bit more than us, because they kind of take on more than they're supposed to with the households and the kids and all that stuff. So my thing is, in knowing that, we keep it in mind with just a little bit more understanding. And like Rodney said, him and his wife been beefing all week for whatever it is. It's okay for them to sometimes fall short and be pissed off at us for whatever. But we just have to be a little bit more understanding and understand that regardless what happens, it's still our role to fix it in the household. We still got to go to them and say, honey, what's wrong? How can we get this thing right? Blah, 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 blah. That's one of the roles of the head of the household. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Good words. Anybody else?
I think what I learned was, the friendship aspect of it and being happy is a key piece to it. But in listening to you gentlemen describe and talk about the aspects of the covenant, is the whole concept behind getting married, it's the whole concept about maturing and growing up, is I want to get better. So it's gonna definitely lend itself and provide me with a mechanism to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to read up on this covenant. And like I do every week, I'm going to get prepared.
Wow.
That's what's up.
Wow.
That's what's what's up.
Yeah, I want to give a special shout out to Rain.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
We got to give a special shout out to Rain. We have a texter, somebody chatting on the line named Rain, and it's gotten very, very good information from this call first time, so we definitely want to give a shout out. But does anybody got anything else? Because this has been a powerful call. Powerful, powerful. Powerful. We do it every week, guys.
Yeah,
thank you.
Plug the women's call, Tony.
Yes, yes. There's a we have a women's call. Well, we don't have the men. We don't have a women's call. But there is a women's call. It's called For Wives Only. It's going to be this Thursday. And their topic is going to be, why did I get married?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now we've got our views on it, and now we'll have theirs. Your wife may not be on the call, but it'll still be a female, and a lot of them may share a lot of the same views. And it will be on the website TalkShoe under that topic under For Wives Only. It'll be under TalkShoe, so you can go in next week and check it out. You know what I mean? So I think that's a good thing. That's something to be excited about.
Yeah, and tell somebody about the call. You know. Don't keep this thing to yourself. You know, we should have we should be going up 10 every week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Try to bring on somebody every week.
Yeah.
One person.
Just tell one person about it. Matter of fact, you don't even have to tell them. Just send them to the website. The website is householdstress.com. Everybody can remember that. Householdstress.com. They'll go there and they'll know exactly what to do once they get there. Then they'll be on the call the next week. They can sign up, join. They can listen to conference calls. They can sit, look at the topics. Everything is there.
Yeah.
For men and women.
TalkShoe.com, and then you can listen to the topics. So, you know.
Yeah.
You have your
head
friend,
of household,
male friend, listen to the topic.
Yeah, householdstress.com. Or there's a link that will bring you right into the conference call. So it's all user-friendly.
All right.
Yeah, but we need to get that head of household thing, like Peyton said, we need to put that in the rotation.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely need to put that in the rotation. What is the head of household? That's very important.
Absolutely.
There it is.
Okay. Okay, well, that's it, fellas.
All right, gentlemen, well, have a good one.
Appreciate y'all.
Good night, guys.
Appreciate everybody.
Absolutely. Good night, all.
All right.
Good night, all. All right.
Night.
P-Town, stay on.